is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Vermont Field and Sports for all your sports and hunting needs, and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at mikesautomidd.com. That's mikesautomid.com. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon. For all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge. For local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury. Your local True Value Hardware store and more. J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6366. Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury with a drop-off location in Vergennes. Dedeker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Route 7 South in Middlebury, find new roads. Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Streets, downtown Middlebury, and at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, and Hinesburg, and online at mbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury. Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. They have parts for the car, truck, boat, and even the 18-wheelers. Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. Looking for a new home? Visit ChamplainValleyProperty.com and see their videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT. Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Community College of Vermont, where high school students can earn free and transferable college credits at any of their college's 12 campuses or online at GoToCollegeVT.org. Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury, your one stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury, your trusted source for all your automotive and tire needs. County Tire Center, 802-388-7620 or at countytirecenter.com. Brandon RV on Route 7 in Pittsburgh. Let them keep you in the sun all year long with a quality RV and at prices lower than any other dealer in the U.S. or Canada. Lathrop Forest Products, with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont, they have the skills and capability to consistently harvest timber. And Addison County Home Health and Hospice, providing quality home care to the residents of Addison County since 1968, on Route 7 in New Haven. And now, let's go to the field. And with the call of today's game, it's Bjarke Sears and Bruce Seaman on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, Bruce, there's no question we might be a little biased, but I can't imagine a better place to be in the state of Vermont for high school football tonight than right here at Doc Collins Field in Middlebury. Welcome, everyone. You're going to listen to the Middlebury Tigers take on the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, a matchup we've been looking forward to for weeks and are very, very excited to bring to you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Bjarke Sears alongside my radio partner, Bruce Seaman. We're really excited to see how the Tigers stack up tonight. Bruce, so far it's been an up and down year for the Tigers.
Yeah, Bjarke, it really has. They had a big win week one, 49-20 over Colchester last week, a 37-6 setback. And it's going to be interesting to see which team shows up. It's going to be interesting to see what adjustments Coach Dennis Smith has the guys make. And again, as you said, you're still finding out where you are in the season, but I think this is a pretty important measuring stick as to where they are, how they bounce back from that loss last week.
Absolutely. When the schedule came out earlier this year, when I found out about it last spring, I was really excited for this three-game run. You have Colchester to start the year. The Tigers, they start out fantastic, as you mentioned, winning 49-20. Really winning going away and feeling really good about their prospects. And then to go over across the state and face a team that's really been their rival for the last few years, about the last decade or so, close to which I've been doing football here. The Hartford Hurricanes and it was really interesting to see, you know, what was going to come out of that. And last week we had a few keys of the game, and for the Tigers it was a tough one. They took it in the mouth, and as you said, they did lose 36-7, and that score came on special teams, so they did not score an offensive point in that regard. So tonight all they get is the state champion runner up last year, a team with massive tackles, a team with an extremely talented quarterback who is seasoned, even though he is only a junior, and a team that feels fired up after beating Hartford and getting revenge on them for last year's championship game in the first week, and then defeating Essex, a team that looked pretty good the first week, beating them handily last week. I think we know who the St. J. Hilltoppers are going to be. I think they feel pretty confident, and as you say, it's really going to be interesting to find out tonight for fans at home, who are these Tigers?
You know, you make a good point, because one of the things in any sports, regardless of what is, you've got to get into a rhythm, okay? We saw that in week one. The Tigers were all over Colchester. Their defense could not get into a rhythm. Their offense could not get into a rhythm. The quarterback for the Lakers was harassed the entire game, could not get anything set, chased by the Middlebury defense the entire game. And last week, it was the exact opposite. And one of the things that you said on my show this morning, Bjarke was nice enough to join me on the wake-up crew this morning, we talked about getting into a rhythm. And believe it or not, this is going to sound kind of crazy to some folks, but when you're trying to figure out where you are in the season, and you're trying to figure out how things are going to work, if you score points too quickly sometimes, believe it or not, I know people think I'm crazy, I think it actually hurts you sometimes, because you got those points, bam, but you didn't accomplish anything, really. You didn't really get any plays set up. Yes, you banged out those 6 points, but you didn't have a chance to work the kinks out and everything. And believe it or not, that can come back to hurt you later in the season.
Absolutely. Last week, you know, it's really interesting. One of the players was looking. I keep a statistics tally as I go along. And today I was working around at school. Many of you might know at home that I do work at the school. And I'm lucky enough to have quite a few players in class. And one of them was actually looking at statistics from last week. And he looked at the Hartford sheet, and they had all these touches. The Middlebury sheet just didn't have any, and it gave us a great chance to talk about the fact that rhythm does need to be established. So last week, Middlebury came out. They didn't have the ball for long. They had to give it up when they got it back, when it was punted to them. Great job by Simon Fisher to return a punt for a touchdown. But as you said, I think they never really allowed the offense to get into rhythm. Hartford held the ball for a tremendous amount of time. I don't think I've ever seen a team as undisciplined as Hartford was last week. They were in at least 5, maybe 6, third and extremely long. Like, we're talking 20 yards, 24 yards, 25 yards, and they would overcome it. The problem with that was their drives weren't 70-yard drives. At times, if you actually looked at the total number of yards, they were 100-plus-yard drives at different times. Kept it out of the Tigers' hands. The Tigers didn't have the ball until the third quarter, until a little before the 5-minute mark. So the Tigers never able to establish a rhythm. They're certainly going to hope to do so tonight. Certainly we're going to hope to establish a rhythm here in this third week of the season. We're going to step aside for a moment. We're going to be back with more pregame talking about these Middlebury Tigers on 92.1 WVTK.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsford. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, to pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVBT.com.
This is Maureen Conrad, Director of Development with Addison County Home Health and Hospice. For almost 50 years, we've been helping Addison County residents by providing high-quality, comprehensive community home health and hospice care. For all stages of life, we're here to help. At Addison County Home Health and Hospice, we provide more than services for elderly people. Our goal is to keep everyone in their homes and part of the community. We're your friends and neighbors, and we know how important that is because we live here too. Did you know we offer skilled nursing nursing and palliative care. There's also maternal child health programs, high-tech nursing, rehabilitative therapies, including physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. We even offer social work services, free foot clinics, and flu vaccine clinics. Surprised at all we do? I thought so. To learn more about Addison County Home Health and Hospice and our services, please call us at 802-388-7259 or visit achhh.org. Addison County Home Health and Hospice, proudly serving the community in all life stages since 1968.
Here are just a few reasons why Vermont students choose Community College of Vermont.
Because I can get credit for what I know.
Because it's the least expensive college in Vermont.
Because I want to be a role model for my kids.
Because I want a career, not just a job.
Because I want diversity in the classroom.
Because I get one-on-one advising.
Because I wanted to go to school and work at the same time.
Because I want to avoid debt and stay close to family.
What's your reason? ccv.edu/register.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthium, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at champlainvalleyproperty.com.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
Well, the sun's going down over in the west, over in past the college, over in Cornwall, Bridport Way, and we're standing here on a steamy night here for week three of the Middlebury Tigers season. The Middlebury Tigers are going to be taking on the Hilltoppers of St. Johnsbury, who traveled across the state from the Northeast Kingdom, down here into probably what they think is the steamy banana belt. I'm from the Northeast Kingdom, Bruce. This is mid-July weather up there in St. Jay, so it'll be interesting. I would say this is probably the hottest night we've had so far.
Yeah, it's been pretty warm, but again, you know, we'll see if that plays into any aspects of the game. You know, we were joking about it before, but the St. Johnsbury has got some pretty big players. And when you're going 250, 260, 270, that heat will play an impact. Depends on the conditioning. We'll have to see.
Certainly, the field looks beautiful tonight. I'll credit to the people who work on that. And no real wind to speak of at all tonight. The flags are over down in the southwest corner of the end zone. And they're sitting absolutely dead still, so it should be a good night. Potentially, that is not a great thing for the Tigers, because we're talking about play, some keys to the game, and I think for the Tigers, the more difficult it would be to put the ball in the air, probably the better off the Tigers would be.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the things that the Tigers are going to have to do tonight is rely on their quickness. Cody Pominville, week one, you know, as we talked about this morning, was everywhere. His quickness allowed the offense to get into a rhythm. Didn't really happen last week. We'll see what they're able to do with that tonight.
Absolutely. And a couple other keys. You know, it's interesting. Very often, depending on the matchup, depending on the situation, depending on what you've seen, you know, those keys to the game switch from week to week. I would say this week, for me, the keys are exactly the same as they were last week. What happens at the line? Does the offensive line, do they create the space, which they did so well in the first week against Colchester? Are they able to create space against the line and the linebackers of St. Jay? But it's really the other side where we're going to be looking tonight. And, you know, one of the funny things about being in this role is basically from late August until, you know, the end of October, everywhere I go in town, I'm the radio guy, right? I mean, oh, you also work at the school? Yeah, but, you know, how about the Tigers? And everyone this week was talking about the passing. And the pass defense in particular. And what's going to be essential tonight is that the Tigers' defensive line is able to get up and pressure Jacob Cady enough that he's a little rattled. Last week, the quarterback for Hartford did a really excellent job of keeping his head up. It was only his second varsity start. He was able to keep his head up. As people came in on him, he would slide up in the pocket. He would move to the outside. That sounds simple for those of you at home who watch a lot of college, watch a lot of pros. That's typical. That's what a quarterback should do. In Vermont, very often when a quarterback pulls that ball down, they're not popping their head back up. He was able to keep it up and able to stay awake and stay moving and limber long enough that people would come open. So for the Tigers, are they going to be able to pressure the quarterback enough to make him get rid of it when he's a little bit uncomfortable? Because if they can't, what's going to happen is those receivers are going to keep running, they're going to keep working to get open, and they're going to get into open spaces. So the line needs to help those defensive back, help those linebackers back in coverage, and really try to minimize the amount of time that every play actually takes.
Yeah, you make a good point, too. And the other thing is, how can you combat size? Well, you combat that with speed, because if they can't catch you, they can't hit you, they can't stop you. And so that, for me, that's going to be one of the keys tonight, because as you mentioned earlier in our pregame show, the Hilltoppers have some pretty big linemen. And so we'll see what the Tigers are able to do against that as we get things going.
Sure, and some of the people who've really excelled this year with the speed. I mean, one of the people has been sophomore Cam Devlin has been doing a great job from that linebacker spot. He's really able to pursue sideline to sideline. If he's forced back into coverage, that's then harder to do. And so that speed gets mitigated a little bit along the way. So a lot of strength up in that line. Certainly Jack Dekman, Tyler Hutt, and Yaro Pereira have been doing a nice job on that line. Tonight it's going to be incumbent really on those ends. Lane Sheldrick on one side, Skylar Devlin on the other. They're going to have to get in there and pinch the pocket, take away Katie's ability to move in the pocket. So we'll see. We'll see how that breaks down as we go along tonight. Certainly for the Hilltoppers, I think probably for them really putting together a solid part, you know, every part of the game working well for them. Although they scored well last week, they did score after halftime. And so probably for them, I'm sure that their coach, Rich Alercio, is focused on having a complete game all night long. And so that for him is, you know, tweaking. What the Tigers need to do is come out and try to take St. Jay out of their game while they try to establish their game.
Yeah, and it's been interesting for the Tigers originally, because in the first game, the 49-20 win, that game was really out of reach for the Lakers by the beginning of the third quarter.
Sure.
And so what you always have to warn against when you have games like that is bad habits.
Absolutely.
Because you had that in week one, and then last week you had it where the Tigers were realistically out of it by the middle of the third quarter when they were down.
Yeah. Yep.
So you want to make sure, like I had said to you the previous week, you want to win the quarter. You want to set up good habits, because when you continue to do the things that make you successful, eventually things will get back on track. And as we have spoken about a couple of times now, we'll see if that plays out tonight.
And the Tigers are a young team. And so there may be, in some weird way, a real benefit there. I mean, you know, Coach Smith and Coach Malcolm and Coach Neuseder are adjustment coaches. You know, one of the things, it's not like they just hit their head against the wall and say, this is what we do, we're going to do it again and again and again. They do make adjustments. And with a young crew who's ready, who's willing to listen, Coach Smith has talked to me this year about how much fun they're having, what a good crew they are together. And that chance almost get hit early on in the season and say, okay, now we need to focus. Sure, all week it's been about getting back to basics, getting back to business, doing what you do well. Now tonight you get to do it. It's tough that it's against a team like St. Jay, but it's also in some ways good against a team like St. Jay, because then you know what you really have.
Well, you're measuring yourself against some of the best in the division, and that's really what you want to measure yourself against, because when it comes down to it, you want to be playing well come playoff time. You want to get rid of any of the bad habits that you have. You want to get any kinks that you have out, and with a young team, that's going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to step aside, and we're going to come back with the starting lineups here as Middlebury takes on St. Jay Hilltoppers in week three of the regular season on 92.1 WVTK.
Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brad and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa in Middlebury is fully stocked, and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends, 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brad and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
It's the Jeep Celebration event at Foster Motors in Middlebury. For the month of September, Foster Motors will be offering supplier pricing for all. Buy any new in-stock 2017 or 2018 for the same price Chrysler supplier employees pay. Check out the stylish 2018 Jeep Cherokee or the all-new Jeep Compass. It's also Ram Power Days at Foster Motors. Great deals on 2017 Rams, including 1500 quad and crew cab trucks. Visit Foster Motors Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at countytirecenter.com.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSC and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the lights are on, and they're starting to make a little bit of an impact here at Doc Collins Field. A little bit of shadow as the Tigers are out here in their home black uniforms, getting put through some paces by their coaches. SaJ still has not come out of the field. They were warming up earlier. Got some ball boys on the sideline, getting warmed up, dreaming about what it's going to be like for them in about 6 years here and there. I think there's little doubt they'll be out of this field, much the same way some of these guys were when they were young. Well, it's Middlebury Tigers, and it's St. J. Academy, and there are a few pairs of teams that could get people in Vermont quite as excited about football. Last year, these were both teams that made it to the semifinals. The Tigers lost to Hartford in Hartford last year to end their season. St. J. went on and then lost to Hartford in the championship game. However, this year, that story's been flipped a little bit. St. Johnsbury came out and defeated the Hartford Hurricanes in their first game of the season, and even though the score was close, Hartford was never really in the hunt. Well, different as Hartford took on the Tigers last week, as Hartford really came out and did put it on the Tigers. There's really no mincing that. However, the Tigers, as we've said before, and thank you for joining us if you're just tuning in. I'm Bjarke Sears along with Bruce Zeman, my radio partner. The Tigers do get a chance tonight to come out and exact a little, I guess it wouldn't be revenge because it's different, but get their own groove back, get their own mojo back here on a lovely football night in Middlebury. So talk a little bit about some of the other games that we might be watching tonight here, Bruce. We're going to have Rutledge going to be taking on the 2-0 BFA St. Albans Bob Whites tonight up there in Collins-Purley. Mount Mansfield's going to be at Brattleboro. South Burlington will be at Burlington. CVU will be taking on Essex. For local interests, we're going to have Linden at Fairhaven and Otter Valley at Mount Abe. Interesting game tomorrow. Hartford will be at Rice. Bruce is going to give us our starting lineups here as we roll towards kickoff.
Thanks, Bjarke. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier in the pregame show is how the Middlebury defense is going to be a pretty big factor in this game. So the starting lineup, kind of important. The defensive ends tonight, the left defensive end, he's a senior number 30, Lane Sheldrick. The right defensive end, he's a senior number 82, Skyler Devlin. The two defensive tackles, the left defensive tackle, number 76, senior Jack Detman. The right defensive tackle, number 67, he's a senior, Yaro Pereira. And the nose tackle, number 36, he's a senior, Tyler Hutt. Now, as for the linebackers, the left linebacker, he's a junior, number 68, Cam Devlin. The right linebacker, he's a senior, number 39, Cooper Bullock. The corners, the left corner, he's a sophomore, number 18, Tyler Buxton. The right corner, he's a junior, number 11, Simon Fisher. And the two safeties, the left safety, number 3, he's a senior. We talked about this gentleman quite a lot so far already this season, Bjarke. Also, he's a quarterback, Cody Pominville. And the right safety, number 14, he's a sophomore, TJ Gettleman.
Yeah, one thing that stands out there is these sophomores really are having an impact out there in the game. Three sophomores starting on defense with Tyler Buxton, Cam Devlin, and TJ Gettleman. They've done so well so far this year.
Number 30, Lane Childrick.
And now for the starters for St. Johnsbury Academy.
All right, so starting at defensive end, he is a senior, number 50, Nick Andrade. At defensive end, right defensive end, he is a junior, number 37, Lamine Lakita. As we go towards the defensive tackles, the left defensive tackle, number 58, he is a senior, Tom Emery. The right defensive tackle. Probably be helpful if I could read my own writing. The right defensive tackle, I'll have to get back to you on Bjarke. But the middle linebacker, he's a senior, number 25, Matthew Roy. The left linebacker is a senior, a number 5, Derek Holbrook. And as for the cornerbacks, he is a junior, number 34, Sean Guckin. The other, the right cornerback, he is a senior, number 80, Jasper Rankin. And in terms of the safeties, they're going with three safeties, Bjarke. We'll have to see if that's actually accurate. Number 45, Nick Guckin, he is a sophomore. The other safety, a sophomore. Number 7, Hunter Palmieri. And the final strong safety, also a senior, Shane Alercio. So there is the lineup for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers.
So a defense is on both sides there. And one thing they do is they do not announce their individual players. They like to be introduced as a team. I feel like that's been something, just so you know, there's more and more teams where you go, they don't do a starting lineup, they just introduce them as a team. I feel like it's a Patriots sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think being in New England kind of gets that going a little bit. But you know, for the defense, but really it's going to be one of the big names that we're going to talk about tonight over and over. It's going to be junior quarterback Jacob Cady. Jacob Cady, just so people know a little bit about him. Colin Urey was a very good quarterback for St. Johnsbury for a couple of years. He played at the Shrine Bowl last year. And 2 years ago, when he was a junior, St. Johnsbury was very good. Urey went down with an injury. And Jacob Cady came in and played well. And then last year at different spots, Cady came in and had experience too. So for a junior, he is very experienced. And from everything I've been told and everything I've heard, he does an excellent job. So he's really going to be that person that we saw last week. Last week, Hartford's quarterback looked extremely skilled. And so tonight, the question is, you know, does Jacob Cady look that way? Or do we even see potentially a whole step up in terms of those skills, in terms of that poise, in terms of that awareness as we go along?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Bjarke, one of the other things that happens sometimes is when you have a different quarterback come in, you may have, in some cases, the players actually step up, put on a bigger game because they have someone that they're not used to. Or in this case, you have Jake Cady, who they have seen a little bit this year so far. But again, it remains to be seen how they will respond to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that element of response is always interesting. The Tigers, when we talk about them being young, they do have 18 seniors, but they haven't always gotten tons of time. And so, you know, how do they respond to this? They're all going to get a little bit older and a little more experienced tonight. And this is going to be a great growing opportunity for all of them. And I think really also, to be honest, I think it's going to be a really good growing experience for Cody Pominville. You know, in that senior quarterback role, how do you come out? How do you lead? How do you keep a team poised? I think this is a game that's going to have ups and downs. I don't think it's one either way that's just going to be what it is from the start. So we'll see. We're going to step aside for a moment. We're going to be back with the kickoff here on 92.1 WVTK.
Actor celebrates 25 years of providing community transportation with a community jamboree. Enjoy live music by Full Share and free ice cream. Play bocce, meet adoptable pets, and learn expert dog training tips. Kids will enjoy games, face painting, and a bike skills course with free safety gear. Grab a few non-perishable food items on your way to the jamboree to help them stuff the bus for local food shelves. Thanks for 25 great years. And see you at Actor's Community Jamboree from 11 to 2 on Saturday, September 16th at the Mary Hogan Rec Park in Middlebury.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready. Hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And here we are. We're excited and ready to go here on 92.1 WVTK. I'm Bjarke Sears, along with my radio partner, Bruce Seaman. We're ready and excited to bring you all of the week's reaction as the 1-1 Middlebury Tigers take on the 2-0 St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Right now, Coach Dennis Smith is in there with his people, getting them to do a little cheer, and they just did. They said, Tigers, they're headed out of the field. We just had a treat from the women's ensemble of the Middlebury Union High School out here to sing the Star Spangled Banner. They did a fantastic job, but they are leaving the field. The Tigers are taking the field, and the Hilltoppers are also taking the field. They are waiting for the ball. Interestingly enough, in a couple weeks in a row, teams have decided to receive the kick, which works well for the Tigers. They like to defer, so it works out. Even if they had won the coin toss, they would have had it work out this way, so they prefer this. And we're off. Any last thoughts, Bruce?
Well, I'm hoping that we have a really competitive game tonight. I hope that the Tigers get a chance to get some of their little blips worked out, because I think we've seen what the potential that they have this season, so let's see what happens.
We'd like to remind you, you're listening to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK from Port Henry, New York, and of course, Middlebury, Vermont. Here from Doc Collins Field, we are all set up to go. We have a new person kicking outside. Finn Fernandez is going to be kicking it off, sending it downfield to a couple different Hilltoppers, waiting at the 20 and the 10, waiting to see what they come up with. It's going to land at the 15. It's going to bounce and get picked up at about the 5. Man returns it to the center of the field and is dropped down very quickly by Fernandez, covering his own kick. We've seen that a lot from Camden Devlin so far this year. Nice to see Finn get out there and put a shot on there.
Yeah, that was a pretty good kick, and it was also a great job by the Middlebury defensive team, the special teams, to get down there and kind of pin the Hilltoppers back. Looks like the ball is going to be placed on the 11-yard line, first and 10 for St. Johnsbury.
And St. Johnsbury at the 11-yard line, come out looking like they want to throw. They've got three wide receivers, one to the left, one to the right. Katie rolls out. He's completely clean. No one anywhere near him back there. However, it's a short pickup over that star side. It's going to be about a 2-yard gain over to the side to number 43. That would be Renwick Smith.
And Bjarke, Katie had a ton of time there, 3 or 4 seconds. No pressure, had plenty of time to throw the ball. Nice job by St. Johnsbury making something out of potentially nothing there.
And it's going to be 2nd and 8 from the 13-yard line. Katie throws it out to this left side. Quickly on a bubble screen, man with plenty of space. It's number 8 coming across the 30. That's going to be gain of about 18 yards out to Alercio here on the near side.
And on that play, Nick Guckin of the Hilltoppers with a nice job blocking to get an extra few yards for his receiver there.
Senior Shane Alercio, he's the coach's son, and players told me all week that's somebody to watch out to, a skilled player. They want to do it. All right, Katie rolling off to the right side again, completely clean. He could just run it if he wants to, but he doesn't. He throws it up in the air, intercepted by the Tigers, bouncing off a man's hands. It would have been better to knock it down. And it looks like, I think it was Gettleman who came up with the interception. Actually, looks like it was Simon Fisher on that interception, so it bobbled. And it is going to be 1st and 10 at the 41 of the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. So that did not work out well for the Hilltoppers. You try to teach your receivers to knock it down if they can't catch it. So the Tigers come out 1st and 10. It's Cody Pominville under center from the 41 of the Hilltoppers. Here comes Pominville. He's going to keep it himself, throw it over to Sheldrick on the right side. Sheldrick gets quickly eaten up there after gaining of about 2 over behind the tackle.
And Pominville with a nice job to get that ball off quickly. The Hilltoppers with a lot of pressure getting through the line, but as we've seen in the first couple of games of the season, Pominville with a nice job quickly getting the ball away.
One of the things that happened last week was Cody ran it a lot more than anyone else. So if some of the running backs only got 1 or 2 touches, it'd be nice to see Cody distribute that ball a little bit more tonight on those option reads. Here comes Pominville under center. They move, and they move too early, I think. I think this one's going to go against the Tigers based on the way the officials are walking towards each other. Let's see what the call is.
You know, you mentioned
False start against the Tigers. Go ahead.
You know, you mentioned Pominville's running so far. He's the leading rusher on the team so far this season. 23 carries, 100 5 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, though. That's not a bad job.
No, it's really not. But what was striking last week was that, really, if you look at those other rushing numbers, Bruce, other people really didn't touch the ball. You don't typically, as the Tigers, want your quarterback out touching your fullback. Fullback's the center of this offense. Palmerville under center. This time he is going to use Sheldrick, who's coming across from the left to the right. And again, no gain. In fact, maybe a gain of about 2 on that carry. It's going to be third and about 11 for the Tigers from the 41 of the Hilltoppers.
10:09 left to play first quarter from Doc Collins Field here in Middlebury. The Tigers and Hilltoppers scoreless. Game 3 of this short Division I high school football season.
Absolutely. Turn around. The season's almost halfway over. It's Palmville under center with his 3 running backs in the double wing. No wide receivers. He has motion. It's Deering. It's Palmville rolling out left. He's looking downfield. He's getting pursued. Kind of throws up a rainbow. We'll see what happens. He got caught by a Hilltopper over on that sideline. I think they're going to say he was out of bounds. No, they're going to say it was intercepted. That interception was made by Hunter Palmieri. That thing kind of floated up.
Yeah, he had a ton of time. Palmerville got the ball, rolled left, had a lot of time. Little too high on the pass, though. A little too much time in the air, and it was intercepted. However, if there is a positive out of this, and that's a big if, the ball is on the 5-yard line, so let's see if the Tigers can hold him down there.
Certainly tough field position here for St. Jay, but a passing team. Look out right now. They have a completely uncovered, they're in a little bit of a cover two with 3 wide receivers. They have an uncovered wide receiver on the left side. Katie, however, rears into his running back. Big hole up the middle, but that's stifled by the Tigers lineman as Simon Fisher also comes up and helps out, but it's not going to be much of a gain there for the running back up the middle.
Yeah, the Tigers line there doing a nice job getting pressure and stopping that literally right at the line. No gain on the play.
And that carry was by number 45, Nick Guckin, I believe. That was the first rush for the Hilltoppers. It is 2nd and 10 for the Hilltoppers. They're going to try to rush it up the middle again. And they do manage to squiggle about 6 yards up the middle. And that carry will be by number 25, Matthew Roy. Actually, I think he was the carrier on that first one as well. It's going to be 3rd and 4 for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers from the Tiger 13. 8:52 left to go in the first quarter. This game is tied 0-0 at this point. As we say, 3rd and about 3, 3rd and 4 for St. J. Katie back in the shotgun. He has 1 wide receiver off to the right. Katie's calling for it. He gets it. He looks like he's going to keep himself. Quarterback power right up the middle. He's going to easily pick up the first down, crossing the line. And it's going to be a 1st and 10 after about a 5-yard play in there for Jacob Katie.
Cut it on the stop.
Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold on Main Street, downtown Middlebury, at autumngoldjewelry.com. Here come the Hilltoppers up to the line. They have Katie in the single, in the shotgun with a single setback. They have 3 wide receivers, 2 out wide to the left, 1 out to the right. This time the Tigers are covering man on. This time it's going to be a jet sweep from the outside with one of the receivers. Looks like he's being indecisive while he goes up along that line. It's going to be no gain on that carry for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. It was carried by number 80, Jasper Rankin.
Yeah, Rankin ran to the left, and he actually bumped into his own guy, which stopped his forward progress. But again, nice job by the Tigers stopping any real gain there. 7:48 left to play first quarter. Still scoreless in this one.
So far, I haven't seen a tremendous amount of logic from Sage. I think they're just trying out different things right now. 4 wide receivers, 3 to the right, 1 to the left, as Katie drops back, looking well downfield to a wide open man up at the sticks over on the far side. A little bit of a repeat of what you heard last week from me saying, wide open. That's going to be Rankin with a 9-yard catch from Jacob Katie.
On the stop for Middlebury. As they check out the measurement.
Looks like it's going to be right at the sticks. However, I think the chain gang is moving, so it doesn't look like they're going to worry about whether or not it was first down. Looks like they're just going to call it. And sure enough, it is going to be 1st and 10 for the Hilltoppers. 0-0, 7:22 left to go in the first quarter. The Hilltoppers are set up on their own 26. And it's a fire over here to the left side to Alercio. He's got a man to beat to get a few more yards. So it's going to be a 6-yard gain here on this near side. One thing that the Hilltoppers are doing is they're spreading out the Tigers' defense by throwing bubble screens and other things out to that outside to the receivers out at the number, trying to give them a chance to make a play.
And Cody's also getting rid of that ball. Katie is getting rid of that ball pretty quickly. quickly.
He sure is, absolutely. And when they have that many options, they're able to use them. Right now, the Tigers secondary well off their men, trying to give themselves a chance to be on them. Katie rolls over to the right, wide open man again. This time, it's going to be a pickup of about 20.
Pass complete to Rankin.
About, actually, we're going to say about 15 there, up to Rankin.
Yeah, so the chains keep moving. And again, really the first sustained offensive drive by either team of this game. The Hilltoppers now in Tigers territory. The ball at the 48. First and 10.
Katie has had 5 out of 6 completions out of 6 attempts. Katie is back looking way downfield. No one covering him. They missed that play. A throw to the near side here that would have been a gain of about 20. They simply missed that because Katie overthrew it, not because a Tiger was on him. They seem to be playing very safe, very soft defense in the defensive secondary.
All right, we've got 6:20 left to play in the first quarter, scoreless. But the Hilltoppers really the first threat of this game in Tigers territory. The ball, second and 10 at the 48.
And right now, there is really, as the Tigers defense moves here, as they were trying to pick up that second, or trying to pressure on that second down, I think the Tigers are getting a little jumpy. And frankly, they should be. Right now, the Hilltoppers, we talked about a key to the game, was going to be whether or not they could pressure Katie long enough to, or pressure him well enough that the defensive backs wouldn't have to cover the wide receivers. What it is right now is that they're not pressuring Katie, but the defensive backs are actually starting off the wide receivers, so the receivers aren't even going as far as the defensive backs are. They're going out into space, turning, sitting down, and waiting for the ball. It's second and 5 of the 43 of the Tigers, and they are going to run it over to the right side, and there's going to be a hit on Katie. Katie kept it for about 3 yards over on that right side, but it'll be interesting to see what the call is. Maybe late hit at the sideline. We shall see.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes, and Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury, and the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified.
And even though it's fall, one thing we should think about is the fact that winter is coming. All you hockey fans out there, players of hockey here in the community, you should know that tomorrow is registration and sign-up at the Memorial Sports Center in town for winter hockey for Maha. So you can go there. Registration is online, but you can also go there to get your questions answered. There'll be members of the board there to help you out. Hockey is a wonderful sport, and a lot of players here on the football team are also hockey players. And so just wanted to put a little public service announcement out there. People, registration tomorrow for Maha. And it is going to go against the Hilltoppers. It's going to be second and 13. 5:08 on the clock. Score 0-0. Katie looking downfield. He had multiple options. He's going to pick out. Man, one's wide open. Beats a linebacker. Gets out of the secondary. Absolutely flattens a defensive back out in the outfield. And a flag at the end, so we'll see what happens. It was a huge pickup by number 45, Nick Guckin. I think it may come back, though. We'll see. It did end up being a real nice pickup of about 10, about close to 20 yards.
Yeah,
it is going to be holding against the Hilltoppers, though. It's going to come back against them.
Well, one of the things that I think that the coach may be talking about come halftime, Bjarke, is there have been a lot of penalties in this game already, and the Hilltoppers have had a couple of plays come back for big yardage. And, you know, if you lose this game, that's one of the things that the coaching staff is going to look at, because for a while they were moving the chains and they had the Tigers on the ropes a little bit. The Tigers with a soft defense letting them throw, and that just totally messes up your momentum.
However, one thing we are seeing is this game does not look entirely dissimilar to last week's game. As I mentioned, there were many times where the Tigers had Hartford in second and long and third and long, and Hartford was able to convert with the passing game. Right now, second and 13 for the Hilltoppers. Now it's time for the Tigers to show the week they've put in looking at film, week they've put in practice. Right now, they need to get to Jacob Katie on these plays. Second and 13 from the Tigers 47. Katie's looking downfield. He's got time. He's got some pressure. A man on him. And almost intercepted again. Nice job there by the Tigers. It was Spencer Catterett getting into the backfield, pressuring Katie. And then other players coming in and getting in the way of that pass. Nice job there by the Tigers. They needed that. Third and 12 coming up. That shouldn't have changed. 3rd and 13 coming up for the Hilltoppers. 4:36 left to go in the quarter, 0-0.
And that really is one of the first times that they have had sustained pressure on Katy in the backfield, though. Let's hope that's the beginning of a trend here in this game.
Absolutely. Katy in the back with a single setback next to him. He's got four wide receivers, two out on either side. Katy back. Nobody's even really rushing him at first. He throws downfield. He's got a man open and out of the hands of Alessio. They had an opportunity. Really, he did have a chance. Unable to do it. Pretty nice coverage over on that left side by Tyler Buxton. It is going to be fourth down for St. Johnsbury. I would not be surprised to see them go for it at this point. I also wouldn't necessarily be surprised to see them punt. We'll see how confident they are. Nope, they're getting set up to punt. Looks like it's Katy who's going to punt. Could be an opportunity for a fake punt here. We'll see it. Katie's back into punting position, and he is going to punt it away. He's going to kick it off. No Tiger is down to receive it, and it's bouncing. He almost was able to keep it out, but he wasn't. It rolls into the end zone, and it is going to be the Tigers taking it over for the touchback. They're going to get it at the 20. Tigers 0-0 with the Hilltoppers. 4:21 left to go in the first quarter. Really, no, I wouldn't call it a defensive struggle yet, but it looks like one on the board right now, Bruce.
Well, you've had two miscues by each team, one for each team, and neither has really been able to capitalize it. And so we'll see what the Tigers are able to do here in terms of getting the ball back on the 20-yard line. Let's see if they can put something together here. Really, a sustained drive is what they could use here.
They sure could. Cody Pavanville under center. He's got Sheldrick in motion here. He's going to keep it to himself. He's going to swing it out to Sheldrick, who manages to catch it. Keep pushing. He manages to evade the man. Get down the sideline, and he is out to the 40, maybe about the 38. Really nice 18-yard pickup there. It was a one juke by Sheldrick out at the numbers that made that possible, as well as the patience for Cody Pavanville.
And I'll tell you one thing, Bjarke, number 7 for the Hilltoppers, Hunter Palmieri, he probably saved the touchdown there, because if he didn't get him around the laces, he was gone.
Absolutely. Nice to see Lane getting the ball here. He didn't get the ball much last week. Nice to see him getting some touches. He looks fresh and spry tonight. Tigers with two tight ends standing. Actually, one out as a wide receiver and three running backs. They are set up in their traditional wing. Double wing, and this time it is going to be carried to the side by Paul Deering. That is going to be a loss of 4. He came across and really got strung out by the defense. That didn't work out for them. We're going to give him a loss of about 1. It was Matt Roy on the tackle for the Hilltoppers. It is going to be 2nd down and about 11 here for the Tigers. Cody Pavanville coming up to the line. He has his 2 tight ends down, 3 running backs in the double wing. They have Simon Fisher this time in motion. Cody fakes it to the fullback, keeps him himself, running out to the right side. Big hole as he fakes the option read, and a really nice pickup there. He picked up about 18 yards on that carry. Nice job.
Yeah, he did a really nice job getting right off the ball being released. He did a nice job getting to the right side. He had a couple of blocks, made it into Hilltoppers territory, and a nice drive so far.
What's really interesting here is Tigers typically will go about it by hitting with the fullback. Nice job there, faking with the fullback, then keeping it. Really nice job by Cody Palmieri being patient before he threw that pitch out. Fisher in motion this time. It's going to go to Fisher up the middle. Nice little hole before he's met by the linebacker. It didn't look like it was going to be a lot. Ended up being about a 6-yard gain there for Simon Fisher. It's going to be 2nd and 4 from about the 38 to 39 of the Hilltoppers. Tigers are moving the ball.
They certainly are. 2:35 left to play first quarter. Tigers and Hilltoppers scoreless from Doc Collins Field. Friday night football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it feels good. Starting to cool off out here. Starting to feel a little like fall instead of summer. Pavanville under center with his 3 running backs. Pavanville has it. He's going to keep himself looking on the right side. He's looking downfield. He's got a wide open hole. Tyler Hunt did a great job opening something up for him there. He went from the 38 down to about the 18. Nice gain of about 20 yards there for Cody Pavanville, who's really come out running tonight. He's got 2 carries for 38 yards.
He's got 2 carries for 38 yards, but he's managing the plays, which I think is also something that the coaching staff's got to be pretty happy about.
Absolutely.
Keeping the team on the field, that they've got a sustained drive. They've had this the ball now for about 3.5 minutes. That's the longest either team has had it so far.
Palmerville now is going to flip it over to Fisher over on the right side. He's tried it after motion. I do believe they're going to call illegal motion before the play against the Tigers, however. Yes, it is illegal motion against the Tigers, and they'll be stepping it back a little bit. It's going to be about 1st and 15 from the 24. Middlebury Tiger football is brought to you by
Vermont Field Sports for all your sports and hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. And McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years.
And the Middlebury Tigers are facing a 1st and 15 from the 24. 1:59 left to go in the first quarter. Tigers are in a tough matchup here with the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Both teams are starting to get a little bit of rhythm here. It is 0-0, but the Tigers are working their way down the field. From the 24 of the Hilltoppers, this time Palmerville keeping himself again on that right side, flipping it out to Fisher. Fisher doing a nice job evading one man, but then getting brought down. It is going to be a gain of about 2 on that pitch out. Tigers being very reliant on that pitch out tonight.
And they're doing a nice job. Palmerville is doing a great job getting off the line quick, running to his right, and he's always got somebody flanking him, so if he gets in trouble, he's not going to get crushed, and it seems like that's working well because they don't really know whether he's going to dish it off or keep going, and they're moving the ball right down the field.
Yeah, and really in this, the design is you read it, right? The read option, so you're waiting and you wait till that read. Does the man step up to you or does he go with the running back? And what you really do there is you don't need a blocker. You make the decision. It's almost as though the situation is blocker. And it's snapped. His ball goes on the ground as Palmerville receiving it from center Yarrow Pereira. Tyler Hutt jumps on it, however, so it's going to end up, it's going to be 3rd and about 14 for the Tigers. We're in the last minute of the first quarter, 0-0, Tigers and Hilltoppers. Cody Palmerville is looking over to the sideline, trying to get a call in from his coaches.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more.
And Palmerville up to the line. This time he has 4 wide receivers, 3 to the left. Very unusual. And Palmerville's going to look to that left. He's going to roll left, look right. He's being pursued by some Hilltoppers. Excellent job communicating. It looks like he's going to get hung up, though, well in the backfield. Can he avoid it? Can he avoid it? The ball's out. He absolutely was getting smothered. And it is a big, big loss there. Cody Palmerville drops it on the ground at about the 38, lost 14 yards, and then dropped the ball.
Boy, a lot of things went wrong on that play. Everything from people missing some routes and then Cody just slipping and getting hit pretty hard, like you said, losing the ball. And with that, we have just concluded the end of the first quarter, still scoreless.
0-0, Tigers and Hilltoppers on 92. Well, actually, we are going to stay here for a second. We did have an incident last week where we stopped for the quarter, and then the officials decided it was not the end of the quarter, so we're going to hang here for a second and say that that really did get messy. As you point out, it got messy.
Well, there's a flag on the play, and what's interesting, he seems to be talking to the defensive captain of the Hilltoppers, and the Tigers' offense is still on the field.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the end of the quarter yet, so we'll play with fire a little bit as we talk about it.
Well, now the coach from the Hilltoppers is coming over to talk to the officials. It looks like he's...
It looked like the flag came in after the play. Sometimes it's a little hard to tell the officials. There could be a little bit of a delay on the hanky as they go to throw it out. So I think the coach himself is wondering what's going to happen. We'll see if they put a little time on the clock. Let's see. They're coming over to tell us. And let's see what the call is. The Tigers are trading people out. The ruling was an incomplete pass, not a fumble. Interesting. I would not have thought that. They, as a result, intentional grounding. That's going to be a loss of down. It's actually going to be a 4th down against the Tigers. Well, I will take away that fumble from the stat sheet from Cody Palmerville and convert that into a pass incomplete on the stat sheet.
So it looks like they're going to put a couple of seconds back on the clock, Bjarke, and...
But now they're saying the clock, very confusing here as what...
Quarter, sir.
That is the end of the quarter. It is 0... Wait, is it the end of the quarter? I'm sorry, folks at home. We're as confused as you are here. So we're just going to talk about it as though we don't know what's happening. Right now, what happened, Cody Pomeville looked like he had fumbled. They called it a pass incomplete. What that results in is a loss of down. It shouldn't be the end of the quarter, however, because if it's an incomplete pass, you stop the clock at the moment the ball hits.
And what they did is they just put 18 seconds
18,
back on the clock.
That's a big change. All right. Well, I'm glad we didn't go to break. It is 3rd and 15. It actually should be 4th and 15 for the Tigers, and it's 4th and 15, and we are going to have a punt here. And there it is. It's going to be going up. Nice little punt. It's going to fall at the 14, the 10. This is going to work out great for the Tigers. It is going to roll and die at the 4 of the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. We're going to have one more play here in this quarter. 5.7 left to go. St. J back with the ball. 0-0 at the 4-yard line of the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers.
Well, that was a really good special teams play. It was a really good punt. And again, as you mentioned, Bjarke, the ball right now on the 4-yard line. And again, neither team really able to do any damage. They're moving the ball up and down the field, but nothing in either of the on the scoreboard yet. So we'll see what happens here.
And this is the kind of game right now that's in the Tigers' DNA. They don't mind playing a defensive game where the game's low and you win the battle of field position. And right now it's great field position in the sense of defensively where they have St. Jay. Cady is going to get in the shotgun. However, big hole up the middle. And Cady, the final play of the quarter, is going to gain 6 yards on that run. 0-0, Tigers and Hilltoppers on 92.1 WVTK.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury, member FDIC, equal housing lender, equal opportunity employer.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back for the second quarter here at 92.1 WVTK. Right now, the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, in a tie game with the Middlebury Tigers, have the ball with 2nd and 4 from their own 11. Right now, the Tigers in pretty good defensive field position. They need to see if they can hold the Hilltoppers to a short drive.
Yeah, they do. It's been a game that's been a little bit messy, a little bit of attraction on offense and defense, but nothing really sustained. So we'll see if the Hilltoppers can do anything here.
Cady hands it off to his running back up the middle of the field, who plows forward. It looks like it's going to be a first down for Matt Roy on that carry. Kind of went between the center and the guard, able to plow forward. Right now, Matt Roy has only carried the ball 3 times, but they has carried it for about 12 yards. First down for St. Johnsbury Academy from the 16-yard line. This time, Cady's in the backfield. He has 2 running backs flanking him. He has 2 wide receivers out to the right. One man really fairly uncovered with the free safety back in zone, but they're going to choose to go up the middle. Big Matt Roy, a big bruising runner. Gets about 7 yards on that carry on first down. It's going to be 2nd and about 3.
11:17 left to play second quarter. Tigers and Hilltoppers still scoreless from Doc Collins Field. Tiger football Friday night on WVTK.
Cady's back in the shotgun. He's got his two running backs, two wide receivers out to the right side. Again, pretty soft defense. But they're going to run it up the middle. Looks like it's going to be Alercio this time, and he's going to get brought down after really no gain. Nice job by the Tigers defense, the line and the linebackers, to get up and put a hat on him.
Yeah, the Tigers right there doing a nice job, creating a lot of just bulk right in the middle of the line there, and the Hilltoppers not able to get anything going. So good job so far by the Tigers' defensive line.
Third and three for the Hilltoppers from the Tigers' 19. Katie back in shotgun, two running backs, two receivers. Katie fakes that he's going to keep himself, plow forward for a first down. Nothing fancy there, just going through the line. Gain of six for Jacob Katie. So far tonight, Katie has run four times for 20 yards.
First and
10 from the 29 of the Hilltoppers. Hilltoppers looking over to the far side, getting their signals in from Coach Rich Alercio. They have Katie back in the shotgun, one running back with him. Looks like that's Roy. They've got two receivers to the left, two receivers to the right. This is where the Tigers' defense comes under pressure. Katie gets it. He is going to keep it himself. He's going to go up the middle, running through people. Gain of six. Really nothing fancy about these runs.
So let me ask you, you've been watching these teams for a while. Does it surprise you that the Hilltoppers are running the ball this much?
Not necessarily. I think one of the things that really teams have tried to do, if you think of around a college offense, you try to spread the defense out. They know the Tigers are worried about being burnt defensively. If you could spread them out, let Katie run it. He's getting pretty straight running lanes right now. Katie's got four wide receivers. Trips out to the right. He receives the ball, throws it up. He's got a wide open man here on this near side. It's going to be a gain of about 15 to Rankin here on the near sideline. He goes out of bounds.
Yeah, on that play, Katie doing a nice job rolling to his right and getting the ball off for a big gain. 9:33 left to play, second quarter. Still scoreless between the Tigers and Hilltoppers. And the ball near midfield on the 46-yard line, looks like.
And here come these Hilltoppers working their way down the field. Remember, they started this drive at the 4-yard line. They have Katie back in the shotgun. Two receivers to the left, one out to the right, and Matt Roy in the backfield with him. Katie's waiting for it. Looks very patient back there. He gets it. He spins over to his left. He's looking downfield. A man wide open, but he doesn't see him. He plows forward for a gain of about two. He had Rankin streaking down the left side. Katie was unable to get it to him. A 2-yard gain for the Hilltoppers. Tigers got away with one. We also talked about how the Tigers may have gotten away with one earlier on that previous fumble, Bruce. Well,
yeah,
previous pass incomplete.
I think so. I think they may have gotten a break there. But again, that's what some of the things that happened in the season. We'll talk about that more in a second. But, you know, that's part of your story.
Absolutely is. Second and eight for the Hilltoppers just on their side of the 50-yard line. It's Katie running to the right, looking downfield. He's got Rankin again. That's going to be an easy first down pickup. It's going to be about a 10, about a 13-yard pickup from Katie to Rankin. Right now, Katie to Rankin kind of looks a little like they're just pitching it around.
And we've said that a few times tonight.
We have.
But the Hilltoppers now doing a nice job moving the ball around, taking some time off the clock. 8:47 left to play second quarter. Still scoreless, but the Hilltoppers now with a sustained drive trying to get in the red zone.
Three, four wide receivers, two on each side. Katie back in the shotgun. He has Matt Roy back there with him. Katie's calling for it. It's going to be a quick out to Alercio over on the left side. Man tries to block for him, but great job by the Tigers. The secondary there, a combination of Gettleman and Pominville there coming over and laying the hit. And Tyler Buxton and Pominville and giving no chance for Alercio. He lost four on that play.
And I think that was a great defensive play because one of the ways you stop a big drop, exactly what the Tigers had there. So we've got second and 13 from the 43.
Now what happens on that play is you want to get it out to Alercio and the other wide receiver becomes a blocker. He missed that block. It was a great job by Buxton to fight through it. And here they go. Katie now rolling back. Boy, he's got all sorts of time. He's got 10 yards till anyone's even around him. And he's able to put his head down and work his way through. Good job running by the quarterback. Good thing they didn't call a late hit over on the sideline. And that is going to be a gain of about seven by Katie. He's operating with a lot of room out there.
Yeah, he has gotten all sorts of time. The Hilltoppers offensive line, they're doing a great job really preventing any type of sustained pressure. And he was able to roll to his right and get a big gain.
It is going to be third and seven coming up for the Hilltoppers. They are on the Tiger 37. Keep in mind, this drive started a while ago, really at the beginning of the quarter, back at the 4-yard line. Katie back in the shotgun. Three wide receivers right, one, two to the left. It's five men out. Still all sorts of time looking downfield. There may have been because of a hold. We see a Hanke come out. Now he's working his way over to the left side, being pursued, able to turn a corner, getting driven out after a gain of about six. I wouldn't be surprised, however, it comes back. And sure enough, it was a hold, part of the reason why he had so much time.
Yeah, 7:31 left to play in the second quarter, still scoreless, and it seems that the Hilltoppers now kind of stuck in neutral last few plays.
Yeah, a little bit, and you know, you have a feeling it could go either way right now in terms of their offense, as you say.
Yeah.
The fundamentals are there for those Hilltoppers right now to be throwing it right down the field, but it's not quite connecting. I think the Tigers are just getting there in time. I think partially it was really that excellent play out on the side by Buxton that really made that happen. Tyler Buxton able to tackle Alercio out on that far sideline. If he hadn't made that tackle, I think this drive could have a different story right now. But it is going to be third and quite long for St. Johnsbury. It's going to be 23rd and 23. We're back to where we were last week against Hartford. It's incumbent on the Tigers to do an even better job than they did last week. Two wide receivers out to the left, one over to the right. Katie back in the shotgun. He's rolling left. He's looking downfield. He's got a man open. He releases it late, but able to get it to him. It's Rankin over there on the left, plowing forward. He's going to be close, I think, a little shy of the first down. Actually, I apologize. It wasn't Rankin. It was Nick Guckin on that carry. It is going to be a 22. It's going to be a fourth and short. I imagine they're going to go for it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what type of play they use here. Looks like they're going to run it right up the middle.
And here they go. They've got a big man in the backfield with Katie right now, don't they? He looks like an offensive lineman. Katie's got it. He's got two receivers over to the right. Sure enough, you called it, Bruce. Katie is going to keep it. He's going to do more than run up to the middle. He's going to get over on the right side, get up into the secondary. That's going to be a gain of about 10 yards on that keeper for Jacob Katie.
Yeah, 6:40 left to play second quarter. Still scoreless, but the Hilltoppers moving the ball, and now just outside the red zone. This is really the first sustained momentum at where a team is threatening to get in the end zone. We'll see what happens.
And this is not dissimilar to what happened last week. You know, I've talked to you. You weren't able to do it off on assignment last week, but we talked about how often Hartford was in third and long, and sure enough, St. Johnsbury able to overcome it and making room right now. Katie back in the shotgun. Two running backs, two wide receivers off to the left. It is going to be big. Matt Roy running up the middle there for the Hilltoppers. A gain of five on the first down. It's going to be second and five from the Tigers, 18.
Yeah, they ran that one right up the middle for a gain of about 5 yards, and now they're in the red zone. We'll see what they do. Do you expect them to run or pass here?
Right now, I would expect, it's hard second and six. I think one thing you love as a coach about second and six is the entire playbook is essentially open for you. They seem to be relying on the run a lot more this quarter than they were last quarter, so I guess that makes me say they'll probably pass. And here comes Katie. He has it, but no, Roy's going to run over to the right side. Nice block there by Alercio to free him up. He's going to get up close to the first down. 5:36 left to go in this quarter as we're rolling along. It's still 0-0, Tigers and St. J. People at home probably expecting a little more of a barn burner than this.
Yeah, neither team really doing much in terms of threatening to get in the end zone until this point, but the Hilltoppers doing a nice job on the sustained drive. And it looks like they may have taken a timeout here.
They may have. I think it's officials' timeout. I think they're going to measure to see whether or not there was a 5 or a 6 yard pickup there for Matt Roy.
Yeah, and Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon. For all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge for local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. And Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your local True Value hardware store, and so much more.
And St. Johnsbury did manage to pick up a first down on that carry. It is going to be first and 10 from the 11, so they will have an opportunity to pick up a first down before the end zone, although it's going to be close. So right now, certainly the story has been, I would say, in a lot of ways, the fact that right now St. Johnsbury is moving the ball but has not been able to stuff one in the end zone yet. The Tigers have just been able to make Jacob Katie uncomfortable enough, I think, that it's made a difference. Katie's back in the shotgun. One man on either side of him, Roy Alercio. He's got two receivers way out on the left, almost over at that left sideline. And Katie has it. He's going to try the left side of his line. line. He's going to plow forward for a gain of about five, maybe six on that first down carry. It is going to be second and about five.
Yeah, just under 5 minutes left right now in the second quarter. Still scoreless, but the, as you mentioned, Bjarke, the Hilltoppers threatening. Really a sustained drive here.
And here's the situation where the Hilltoppers' size, you know, we talked about the night's cooling off, so the heat isn't as much an issue. And right now, when you run, you know, offensive linemen often like to run the football. They like to be able to just put themselves down and just get into contact.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a timeout on the field. So 4:40 left to play second quarter. Middlebury and St. Johnsbury scoreless. As we watch the Hilltoppers move the ball up the field, the really first sustained drive of this game. A lot of miscues so far, a lot of false starts and everything, but St. Johnsbury trying to punch it in the end zone, get on the board first.
Yeah, and I think one thing that stands out to me is that really St. Johnsbury looks very calm. They look like they're not getting particularly flap. You know, I mean, I think, you know, when you have Jacob Cady, who's been playing varsity football since he was a ninth grader, you're going to get, I mean, he's as experienced as you could possibly be. As a junior, he's had big wins. He's been in big games. And so I think you're seeing that a little bit. They've gotten themselves in third and long situations and been able to get out of them. I think size is going to matter here. I think as long as St. Johnsbury keeps the ball, they keep slowly pushing their way down the field, they are going to be able to really start exerting some pressure on the Tigers. Let's keep in mind, 4, 5, 9, 11, 12, 13, it's been a 17-play drive right now for St. Johnsbury. That does start wearing out a defense. Second and four for the Hilltoppers. 0-0, 4:40 left to go here in the quarter. The Hilltoppers are sitting on the Tigers' 5. Keep in mind they can get a first down before they have to get in the end zone. Cady takes the snap, tries to keep him himself. Good job by the defensive line to limit him to a 1 yard gain. It's going to be third and about 4 here for the Tigers. You'd have to say this is a pretty big play.
Yeah, it is a really good play. And the Tigers' defense did a really good job there plugging up that hole. He was not going anywhere.
Bring up a third and one.
You know, it's funny, you've been asking me about the play-run combination. I think probably from a St. Johnsbury fan's perspective, I think St. Johnsbury's probably gone away from the pass maybe a little more than they would be comfortable with. Certainly that does help the Tigers in this situation. I would expect to see a little more passing here as they get close. Cady has it. Forget the pass. He says, I'm plowing it forward. And plow it forward he does. A 4 yard, about a 2 yard touchdown there for Jacob Cady. He knocks it across, able to get across between his guard and his tackle, able to plow forward. Jacob Cady, a touchdown on the ground.
Yeah, on that play, the Hilltoppers' offensive line giving him the space that it needs to get in the end zone. So again, an 18-play drive, if my notes are correct here, taking a lot of time off the clock. 3:56 left to play second quarter. Hilltoppers now leading the Tigers 6-0 pending the...
Pending the two-point conversion. What an interesting setup. Cady's got it by himself. Only one man in front of him. Interesting play call. Absolutely did not work. They were set up with two blockers, everyone off to the left. Cady just kept himself. Tigers stopped him. 6-0, St. J over the Tigers. 92-1 WVTK.
McIntyre Services, with two locations, has been serving Anderson County residents for over 70 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline at 213 Exchange Street and at 49 Court Street, both in Middlebury. At McIntyre Services, Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage you to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, where you can save 5 cents on every gallon of gas or diesel right at the pump. McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in logging and land clearing. Do you have trees blocking your view or have a large lot you need cleared for building? Lathrop's can clear that land for many uses, like scenic views, roads, and even pasture reclamation. And they can cover a large amount of land and get it done fast. With the 60 years experience, they can handle all of your forest clearing needs. Call Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3606. That's 453-3606.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, it's hard to score points when you don't have the ball, and that was the story. That's been the story for the second quarter for the Tigers. St. Johnsbury just scored their first points of the game. There's 3:56 left on the second quarter, and the Tigers, remember, the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers started it at the end of the first quarter. Here comes the kickoff. It goes down to Simon Fisher, who's returning it back from the five. Gets a little space out there. The Tigers are going to start at the 20-yard line, and Bruce, I would say maybe the Tigers have to be feeling a little good that right now it's only 6-0 St. Johnsbury.
Well, you know, one of the challenges is when you have a game that's a little bit sloppy, neither team really getting much going until that last drive, which, you know, an 18-play, 8-minute and 11-second drive, Katie taking it in on a 2-yard run. You also can't score if your offense isn't on the field unless you have some type of defensive play.
Tigers have only run 10 plays so far this game. Cody Bominville under center. He's got two tight ends, two running backs, and he's going to keep it himself, throw over on the right side. The ball is down. He threw it over to Deering, and it absolutely popped out. That's going to be a big loss for the Tigers. That's going to be about a 7-yard loss on that, and we will call that a fumble. I think really against Bominville, it was the throw that really was errant.
Yeah, 3:30 left to play in the second quarter. Tigers behind the Hilltoppers 6-0. You know, just to continue what we were talking on a moment ago, even though you're down only one score.
You are, and really it's a time to stay calm and not have those mistakes, which are starting to rear their head a little bit. Second and 16 for the Tigers from their own 14. Bominville under center. He's got one wide receiver, three running backs. This time they're going to try the right side with Sheldrick, and the linemen come up, and it's going to be a gain of about three, but it's going to end up being third and quite long here for the Tigers, third and about 14.
Holbrook on the stop.
Again, we're going to see what type of play selection they go with.
Well, one thing I think you want to do here is not get too cute, right? Not get too crazy. Remember that it's a 6-0 game. You don't need to make the whole score up in one play. You don't need to make up the whole field in one play. You haven't really been connecting too much. However, it's been a big play offense at different times down the field. Will they dial something up for Cody Bominville to throw? We'll see. Right now, they have no receivers. They do have three running backs in the backfield. However, they also have a tight end move on the snap. The Tigers are going to be walking backwards again.
Well, here's one of the ways you can look at a situation like this. You gave up 36 points last week in a loss, okay? You've only given up 6 so far. So you're already ahead of where you were last week. And again, keep doing the little things that you're doing that make you successful. If you can get into halftime in this game being down by 6 points,
absolutely,
or putting some points on the board, I don't think that's a bad thing at this point, considering the way this game has gone.
Well, and to be honest, that's what makes this play important. It's going to be third and 12 from the 18. Remember, there's 2:20 left to go right now. The Tigers are trying to milk the ball time off the clock, because as of right now, if they get in a fourth down, St. Jay calls a timeout. In fact, if I was St. Jay, I would have considered calling a timeout at this play. St. Jay has a good chance of getting the ball back with some time on the clock and a quarterback who could sling it down the field. Now, the Tigers, it turns out, are going to take a timeout right here. And we'll stay here. And
yeah, Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by JP Carrera and Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363. Desiree dry cleaning and full service laundry. Yeah, 1323 or 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location in Vergennes. I got to get that right, Bjarke. I was just there. And Denneker Chevrolet, where they give you a free state inspection for as long as you own the vehicle on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Find new roads.
All three of those sponsors, of course, long-standing sponsors of Tiger football.
Yeah, these games aren't possible without those amazing sponsors, because, you know, we do the best we can. It's not inexpensive to do this.
No, absolutely not. We appreciate all the support that comes the Tigers way from all the various places. Really
sure
amazing
do.
How much this community supports their Tigers. Bominville under center, 3rd and 18. Big play here for the Tigers, and Bominville's going to hand it off the middle. Man churning up the middle. My guess is it's Hutt. Couldn't quite see the number. I think it's going to be gain of about 6, but it is going to be 4th down and about 11, and the Hilltoppers will take, are they not going to take a timeout? I can't even believe that. Okay, well, I guess they're not going to. Not necessarily the call I would have made at the moment. We'll give that 7-yard gain to Hutt. That was Hutt's first carry of the game. That's very unusual for a Tiger team. It is 4th and 10. I guess the Hilltoppers wanted to save the timeout for their offensive set. Tigers are getting ready to punt away. Here they've got a man waiting at the 50-yard line. The Hilltoppers do. And it's a good punt. It's flying up. It's going to hit the ground at about the 48. It's going to take a Tiger bounce for sure. It's going to end up at a 42 of St. Johnsbury. That's where they're going to take over with 1 minute left to go. 106, actually, the first half. St. Johnsbury's up 6-0, but they're going to look to put another score on the board before halftime.
Yeah, what I think they're probably going to do here, Bjarke, is probably run a couple of quick plays. You know, Katie has had all sorts of time when he's thrown the ball. This is a completely different game going into halftime if you're up by 13 as opposed to only being up by 6.
Absolutely, and they may be set up to do that. They've got Trips out to the right. That's 3 wide receivers. They've got one out to the left, 1 man, and sure enough, Katie is rolling out looking right. He decided not to use the close man. That's how confident he is. He holds it down, and he steps out of bounds. A loss of about 3, believe it or not, on that carry. Really interesting choice there by Katie about how patient he was going to be. He had a receiver open in front of him, utterly disregarded throwing him. That probably saved time for the Hilltoppers. But just kind of looked him off and said, nah, I want to look downfield, and then just stepped out of bounds. Certainly, again, showing that patience. Katie back in the, he's on the right hash mark. He's back in the shotgun. He's looking downfield with 3 men streaking downfield. A little pressure being applied. Throws to a receiver who just was not even aware. Matt Roy on the left side. The ball flies harmlessly out of bounds behind him. It's going to be 3rd and 12 for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. 49 seconds left to go in the half on the 39 of the Tigers, leading 6-0.
Yeah, and that last play is really just kind of symbiotic of the way this whole first half has gone. A lot of disorganization on that play. The receiver wasn't even looking at Katie, and the ball just went harmlessly by. Quite honestly, they're lucky a Tiger didn't step in front of that and take it the other way.
They may be getting greedy a little bit here. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Katie rolling left, looking downfield. He's got options. He chooses not to use the near man again. Keeps it himself. It's going to be a loss of 2. I think that St. Johnsbury right now is trying to choose the big play over the safer play. They've been walking backwards. I think they're wasting a possession. Tigers should love this right now. Timeout being taken, my guess is, by the Hilltoppers. It is going to be 4th and 12, and just an interesting set of decisions there by St. Johnsbury.
Well, Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Autumn Gold Jewelry. They've got the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Street in downtown Middlebury and at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, and online at nbvt.com. Ed LaBerge Insurance Agency Incorporated, for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury, and Napa Auto Parts on Core Street in Middlebury. They have the parts for your car, truck, boat, and even Bjarke 18-wheelers.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'll have to take mine over tomorrow. All right. So now we have 3 to the right. We're going to be set back into the punting position, of course, because it is 4th and 14 here for the Hilltoppers. They're kicking it from the Tigers' 37-yard line. It's going to be Katie doing the kicking. And sure enough, pretty nice kick, actually. It's going to land at the 31, but does not really take a Hilltopper bounce. That's where it's going to stop. Tigers are going to have 25 seconds here in the half, down 0-6. See what they decide to do. They may decide to take a single shot and then wait till halftime. The question is, when you're within 6, do you really want to risk anything crazy?
Well, I'm kind of surprised by that series of play calling, to be honest with you. I mean, you've got a team a little bit on the ropes. Sloppy first half by both teams. I just don't understand running the ball 4 times there.
Yeah, I think they did look to pass. I think Katie just kept passing up open receivers because they were too close. I think he wanted the big play, and if he didn't have the big play, he wasn't going to go for it. So sure enough, Tigers under center. Pominville's going to take a knee, which does hurt his statistics a little bit, incidentally, but we're not worried about statistics that much. And that is going to be it. We're going to go to halftime with the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers leading your Middlebury Tigers for a score of 6-0 on 92.1 WVTK.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desiree on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
On 92.1 WVTK.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desiree on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, front-end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven. Or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Here are just a few reasons why Vermont students choose Community College of Vermont.
Because I can get credit for what I know.
Because it's the least expensive college in Vermont.
Because I want to be a role model for my kids.
Because I want a career, not just a job.
Because I want diversity in the classroom.
Because I get one-on-one advising.
Because I wanted to go to school and work at the same time.
Because I want to avoid debt and stay close to family.
What's your reason? ccv.edu/register.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsford. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVVT.com.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK. Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury. 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And back to the field it is, to Doc Collins Field, that is, as we get into halftime here of Week 3, the Middlebury Tigers against the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers, a marquee matchup for Friday night and a marquee matchup for Week 3, and so far for defense, you know, I was going to say it was a marquee game for defensive fans, but it hasn't entirely looked like a defensive game.
Not at all, no. You know, it's interesting, neither team has really done much except in between the 20s.
Yep.
There's been, you know, the one play, Katie for the Hilltoppers with an 18-yard drive, 8 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock. That's the only points on the scoreboard. But if you consider some of the miscues, that first half was kind of sloppy football.
Yeah, no, it really was. And I think what's evidence of that is the fact that the Tigers have only run 14 plays. They only ran 14. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that because we have the interception in the other one. 16 plays in the first half. The Tigers have an interception. They have a fumble that they were able to recover, but it set them back. They had another one that, you know, from our eyes, could have been a fumble. And so it really threw them off. They had 1 yard in the second quarter. However, you look at it the other way, and St. Jay has been moving the ball, but we've seen this weird shift from St. Jay, haven't we?
Well, there's a couple of ways you could look at this. I see two different things here. One, you could go into halftime saying, we're down one touchdown, or
sure,
two field goals,
yeah,
one score. The other way you could look at is St. Johnsbury has had literally all day long to throw the football.
Yes, and strangely enough, they haven't taken advantage of it.
And I don't understand that.
Sure.
But so in the scheme of things, if I'm the Tigers, I'm going into that locker room or wherever they are right now saying, we're one score away. And regardless of how good a team is, whether it's football, hockey, you name it, when a game is within one score, that's dangerous to let a team hang around. Because
absolutely,
you know what? One of the Tigers has challenged, offensively challenged, you know, to be honest, that they were that half.
Sure.
Okay. One of the players steps in front of a pass and goes the other way. You never know what happens. I mean,
sure,
and so we'll see what happens.
And, you know, interestingly enough, you do have to wonder if that fits into St. Jay's, because I'm looking at this, and I'm a little kind of confused by St. Jay's play calling. So in the first quarter, St. Jay ran 6 plays on the ground. They threw 9 times, at least had 9 attempts. In the second quarter, St. Jay had 18 plays, I think is my number, 16 plays, I'm sorry, running the ball, and only 4 times throwing. They've had success. Right now, the story has been, as we expected, Jacob Katie, he's had 57 yards on the ground, 96 yards through the air, did score a 2-yard touchdown, which we'll get in our recap in a second, which will be a quick recap.
Yeah.
But really, you know, it's been surprising, that swing. How do you go from passing so much at first to rushing so much? And as I'm sitting here, as I'm thinking about it, I have to think, if St. Johnsbury isn't right now worried about Middlebury's offense, right now Middlebury has not scored an offensive point in 6 quarters. If they're not worried about Middlebury's offense, why would they want to be risky? You know, what I saw maybe is Katie being greedy on those last 4 plays, and I said it several times, he was looking off close receivers and choosing to just step out of bounds, taking some losses. Maybe it's simply, hey, we've got a little bit of a lead. Let's sit on this lead. Let's play defensive football. Let's run the football. Let's play good defense. I mean, it could be that St. Jay, even though they're coming out in these wide sets and doing everything else, are actually playing very old school football and how their coach is looking at it.
Well, that's one of the things that they could be talking about at halftime. But again, from my perspective, the longer you let a team stick around when they have not played that well,
right,
for 3 or 4 quarters,
sure,
you're playing with fire there, because the Tigers, we've seen it, they put up 49 points week one. Okay, you only need a couple of special teams plays, because if I'm the coach of St. Johnsbury and they lose this game, I'm not going to be happy, especially the way the first half was. A lot of penalties,
sure,
a lot of sloppy plays. We had 2 plays right in front of us that we saw the receiver wasn't even looking at the quarterback.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
Absolutely. And so we're going to talk about more of this at halftime. We're going to step aside for a moment. The St. Jay Hilltop are leading the Middlebury Tigers 6-0. It's halftime, 92.1 WVTK.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance and a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthium, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at ChamplainValleyProperty.com.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven. Or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
It's the Jeep Celebration event at Foster Motors in Middlebury. For the month of September, Foster Motors will be offering supplier pricing for all. Buy any new in-stock 2017 or 2018 for the same price Chrysler supplier employees pay. Check out the stylish 2018 Jeep Cherokee or the all-new Jeep Compass. It's also Ram Power Days at Foster Motors. Great deals on 2017 Rams, including 1500 quad and crew cab trucks. Visit Foster Motors Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
McIntyre Services, with two locations, has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline at 213 Exchange Street and at 49 Court Street, both in Middlebury. At McIntyre Services, Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage you to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, where you can save 5 cents on every gallon of gas or diesel right at the pump. McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
We just bang out all the ads.
And we're back here at halftime as we tick down towards the second half on 92.1 WVTK, Port Henry, New York. Excited to bring you Tigers football, and so far tonight, it hasn't been a real rip-roaring scoring. In fact, the recap is going to be quick. It was at 3:56 of the second quarter after a long 18-play drive that took 8 minutes and 11 seconds on the play clock. It was Jacob Cady with a 2-yard keeper himself ran it in. Then they tried a fairly bizarre unblocked 2-point conversion attempt to run it in. That didn't work. And that left it at that point and left it right now 6-0 St. Jay over Middlebury.
Yeah, I don't really understand a lot of the play calling, but, you know, again, the Hilltoppers are undefeated so far this season. They're 2-0. They have two wins against two quality opponents. And so now they're here taking on the Tigers, who have kind of had sort of a up and down first two games. I don't know what you expect in this second half, but I'm going to be very interested to see how the Tigers come out, because if I were them, I would come out throwing here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You think about throwing it, you know, and if it's really to see what their play calling has been. So a Tiger team, typically their MO, if you've listened to us over the years and watched the Tigers, is that you're going to start out, you're going to be in the double wing, you're going to hit it up the middle with the fullback as much as you can. Hit it. Get that defense to collapse. Then you're going to start running counters off of that. You're going to start running the options to the outside. And the Tigers simply haven't done it that way tonight. They started trying to get runners out into space, so we'll see what they try to do. I agree with the throwing. I think they could try to do that. Right now, though, they are 0-for-2 in the completion world. Right now, it partially threw them off that there was an interception right off the bat. And so, you know, in theory, I would agree with you. I think they need to see. Right now, I don't think they know. It's an interesting situation. You want to go with what's working.
Yeah.
They haven't had enough plays to find out what's working. It's the same thing that happened last week.
Well, we talked about that again, about not being able to get into a rhythm. Again, the Hilltoppers had that 8-minute sustained play from one end of the field to the other. They kind of got things going. Let's be honest, it wasn't pretty. That entire drive was not pretty. There were some penalties, but they punched it in. That's all that matters. So again, as we start the third quarter, with the Tigers trailing by 6, we'll see what happens.
We're going to step aside for a moment and come back with the kickoff of the second half on 92.1 WVTK.
Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brad and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa and Middlebury is fully stocked and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brad and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we couldn't have timed that any better. We're back for the kickoff of the second half. St. Johnsbury's going to be teeing it up to the Tigers. Right now the Tigers only trail by six. Big opportunity here to start the second half. Simon Fisher picking it up from the 15. Getting a nice little hole on the near side. It's going to get brought down by the 28. At the 28, it's going to be first and 10 for the Tigers. Trailing only by six. Looking to get the offense moving. Looking to get something going on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and unlike the first half, let's see if the Tigers can get something going on the first drive of the third quarter, and maybe some sustained pressure, maybe making the Hilltoppers, making those some of those big linemen run a little bit.
I would expect right now to see a dose of Tyler Hutt up the middle. If nothing, now there are some big guys on that St. Johnsbury defensive line. There's number, no question, number 76 looks about as big as any high school football player in Vermont. Still, I don't think the Tigers should get away from their identity right now. Cody Pominville under center with three running backs, two tight ends down, and sure enough, and no, Pominville's going to keep it to himself over in the right time. And who was it? It looks like it was, oh, no, it wasn't 76. It was 45, going to bring him down. Nick Guckin on the tackle. It is going to be a nice little pickup, about 5 yards for Cody on that carry.
Well, again, the Tigers getting things started. A nice drive, a nice play to start the quarter.
Yeah, if you could pick up some yards here and there. And actually, Cody's had some nice runs so far tonight for the Tigers. Gotten into some space. Let's see if he can keep that up. Cody is under center. He's got his tight ends down on the line. He's got three running backs. He's calling it out from his own 34. And he's going to take it. He's going to hand it to... And it's going to get swallowed up very quickly there. It was a carry by Hutt, and he's going to get really maybe one gain on that tackle, brought down by a gang of Hilltoppers, including number 50, Nick Andrade.
You know, one thing I noticed, Bjarke, that the Hilltoppers are doing, and they've done it the last quarter and a half, they're definitely trying to strip the ball. They definitely have got their hands out there, so that's one of the things the Tigers have got to be cognizant of. But again, 6 yards so far. Or actually 7 yards, third and three from the 37.
And here they are with Pominville under center, two tight ends down on the line, three running backs, Sheldrick in motion from the right to the left. Pominville's going to keep it. He's going to look out to Sheldrick, and he is going to get brought down in the backfield. That's going to be a loss of about eight. We'll call it eight off the run there for Pominville. It is going to be fourth and long, and the Tigers are going to have to punt it away.
Yeah, a little trouble from the moment the ball was handed off. It seems like there was a little hesitation there, and that allowed the Hilltoppers to get through. A big play by their defensive line. Fourth and 10 from the 30.
And certainly for the Tigers, where you really wanted to come out and make a statement, really unable to right there. So for the Tigers, they are going to be putting it away from their own 16. I would say the punt returner is not as deep as he probably should be. He's standing at the 42. This will go over his head, but it's down. It's fumbled, and it's looked like it may have been blocked there partially. It's going to bounce at the 42. It is going to take a Tiger bounce, but is going to stop at the 49 of the Hilltoppers. They're going to take it over almost at midfield.
Well, considering how challenging that snap was, and he punted it from the 15-yard line, that was still a 36-yard punt, and he did a pretty good job of getting that off.
So for the Hilltoppers, whose night is featured an 18-play drive that took 8 minutes, they are getting much better field position here, taking over at the 49. As you say, though, it could have been much worse. Two receivers out to the left, one out to the right. One man, Matt Roy, in the backfield with Jacob Cady. They've got motion. Alercio coming from the right to the left, but it's going to be Roy carrying it up the middle. A little patient in the middle there. Squeezes forward. He's still battling. He's up against the linebackers. It's going to be a 6-yard gain. Fisher and a few other folks coming in and making that tackle. Looked like it on that tackle was also Tyler Hutt.
Well, no surprise there. The Hilltoppers running it right up the middle, and it took four Tigers to bring him down.
Yeah, well, that really is a combination of speed and size. Pretty useful there. They were able to fake it to Alercio. It looked like he was running a jet sweep, and then able to get it out there to the big running back, big fullback, who's now setting up to the left of Cady. Two receivers out left for Cady, one over to the right. He's back, as he has been all night, in the shotgun. And he gets the snap. He looks over. He got a bubble screen over the left side. And demands the ball's out. I think they're going to call it pass incomplete, though. It fumbled off the hands of Jasper Rankin.
So 8:55 left to play, third quarter. The Hilltoppers leading the Tigers 6-0. And just like we saw in the first half, Bjarke, the second half starting a little sloppy.
Starting a little sloppy for sure. And it's with this much time off, it's going to be 3rd and 4 from the 46 of the Tigers for the Hilltoppers. So definitely sloppy. Some miscommunication. Seems like Cady, you know, for all they've talked about him, he seems a little inaccurate at times, believe it or not. Maybe a little slow to pull the trigger. Right now, Cady's back in the shotgun. Two wide receivers way to the left, one to the right. They're going to try that same play again, and it's going to work. They're going to get it. It's going to be a gain of about 7 on that far sideline. It was carried by Alercio, caught by Alercio over on that far side. So that is, Cady has gone over the 100-yard mark tonight. He is at 103 on the night. And for Alercio, not a big night so far for such a weapon. He has gained 9 yards in receiving and has run once for 0 yards. Right now it is going to be 1st and 10 for the Hilltoppers from the Tigers 40. And is Cady back in the shotgun, handing it to Roy up the middle. Roy powering forward, hitting people, getting out. Oh, and eventually he got brought down. Will they say it was a fumble? It was. Fumble after a nice gain of about 13 yards by Roy, but then he puts it on the ground. Excellent job there with that fumble recovery.
Yeah, Roy ran right through the line, and he kept on going, kept those legs churning, but the Tigers just stripped the ball. It just popped out.
Really nice break there. Nice job by Middlebury. We can't call it a break. We call it effort by them. It's going to be 1st and 10 for the Tigers from their 22nd. Now it's time for the Tigers to do something offensively. I have to agree with you. Running up the middle didn't work. I think they need to put it in the air a little bit. And they may. They have two men standing on either side of the line. They have three running backs, one in motion. But they're going to try Sheldrick over on that far side. Nice job by Lane Sheldrick, getting through a nice hole. Absolutely accelerating, plowing people over, twisting and turning. Huge gain of about 25 yards on a carry by Lane Sheldrick. He's having a nice night tonight, relatively compared to their overall offensive output.
Yeah, Palmerville threw it to him, and he just put himself in gear and just kept going. Ran up the right side, kept those legs churning. Looks like that was about a 26-yard gain.
All right, so sure enough, it is going to be 1st and 10 for the Tigers at their own 47, but looking to get across the field. Tigers have two standing tight ends, three running backs, and a double wing. And it is Palmerville under center. He's handing it off to Hutt. And now they're starting to get some yardage. 8-yard gain, nothing fancy of that. Just plowing up the middle there for Tyler Hutt.
Yeah, nice job. His line did a nice job giving him the holes. He ran it right up to the 46.
And it was a gain of about 7, maybe a long 7, short 8. And it is going to be a 2nd and 3. We'll give it 7 yards. It's going to be a 2nd and 3 here for the Tigers. They're across. It's 6-0, St. Jay, but the Tigers are moving the ball. They have Pominville under center. He has it. He is going to keep it himself and look downfield. He's got Sunfish open. No, he throws it over to the near side. Wyatt Cameron hitting him at the 25-yard line. That is going to be a gain of 21 on the hookup there. That is the first completion of the night.
And a nice job by Cody right there. Getting the time, taking the time, waiting for his receiver to be open. A 21-yard pass. And again, the ball right now, they're marking it on the 24. First and 10 for the Tigers. Threatening for the first time really tonight to get in the end zone.
And looking good right now. Certainly Pominville, he's got one receiver off left. And this time though, they're going to try it over on this left side. A carry by Paul Deering. Doesn't look like he's going to pick up about 2 yards on that one. And so the Tigers are going to be looking at second and about 8, maybe 9 from their own, second and 7, we'll say, from their own 23.
And 6:53 left to play, third quarter. Tigers down 6-0, but threatening the ball on the 22-yard line.
Tigers looking overtime is ticking away, but in a close game like this, time really isn't as much of an issue as it is in other games. They have Pominville under center. They have Deering in motion from the right to the left. This time it's going to go to Sheldrick over on that right side. He's still managing to plow through people. Nice job getting through the defensive line. And now it's a scrum at the end, very rugby-like. It's not going to quite be a first down, but it is going to be close. A gain of about 7.
You know, Bjarke, considering the size of some of the St. Johnsbury linemen, Sheldrick doing a nice job. He's listed at 6 foot even, 180. He's lining up against some guys on the other side of the ball that are 85 pounds heavier than he is.
You know what? He's not getting through that line totally clean. That right side of the line, they do a nice job for sure, but he's not getting through the line clean. He's having to power through, keeping his feet high to not get tripped. And it is going to be Pominville keeping it by himself up the middle. Just absolutely quarterback power on a 3-1, 3rd-and-1. And we're going to have him a gain of about 9. Nice rush there by Cody Pominville.
You know, in watching this drive, this is very reminiscent of the way that we saw the Tigers play in the first week, the first win over Colchester, how they just keep moving the ball, and now it seems like St. Johnsbury having a little trouble stopping them.
First and goal from the 8-yard line or so for the Tigers. And here's Pominville set up. He's going to hand it off to Deering, working over the side. And he's going to pick up a nice 5-yard gain on that one. Tigers are moving bodies right now. Really nice to see this, Bruce. Really nice to see that. This is going to be a big, boost here for these Tigers. It is second and goal from the 4.
Timeout on the field.
Timeout is being taken by St. Johnsbury.
Yeah, St. Johnsbury taking a timeout. The coach not liking what he's seeing there, and I think that's a good play on their behalf because they have not been able to stop the Tigers on this drive.
Well, I really like that last play there by Cody Pominville. He was looking at a 3rd and short and walked up to the line and just decided to, he just could call his own number there, and it really, really worked out well for them to get five yards when you're that close to the end zone on a play like that. Really a great pickup. So nice job there by Cody. Good play call by the coaches to give him that option. And so for the Tigers right now, although it's, they've been down for the game, it's 6-0. As you pointed out, it's only 6-0, and they are knocking on the door for sure. 4 yards away from being able to tie this thing up, 4 yards and a point after from going ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No.
One of the things that we talked about in the pregame show was managing the game,
yep.
And that's what Cody's doing an excellent job of doing right now.
He absolutely is. And here he is coming up under center. He's got Wyatt Cameron off to the left. He has 3 running backs, 1 man tearing in motion, but it's going to be Hutt trying that middle. It is going to be Hutt getting brought down on the 1-yard line. They're calling it Deering, but I do believe it was Hutt. It's going to be a little bit shy. So a gain of about 3. Tigers, it's going to be 3rd and very, very short. It's going to be 3rd and less than a yard, I would say, as you can hear the fans in the background hammering on these bleachers. Tigers go forward. Pominville on the keeper. The Tigers are saying they want to see it, and they do. It's a touchdown. 1-yard plunge by Cody Pominville. Boy, did the Tigers need that.
You know, it's amazing that the way that they played on that drive, they just took control of their play selection. They really did, and they moved it right up the field. A huge pass play by Cody Pominville. A 21-yard pass, the key play in that drive. They punched it in, and now the game is tied. And if they make this extra point and they go up,
then they certainly have to love it. Then you're going to have to see an adjustment by St. Jay, certainly on offense next time around. And it is Jack Donahue in for the extra point. He's been perfect all year. He remains perfect. It's 7-6. Tigers over the St. Jay Hilltoppers on 92.1 WVTK.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one stop for all your lumber needs, or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Middlebury Tigers leading 7-6. Kick off to the Hilltoppers. Man returning it across the 20, across the 25. Makes the juke. It's Rankin coming over to the near side. Getting pulled down by the horse collar tackle, but then getting across the 42. Nice job by one of the Tigers to come up and slow him down. And able to trip him up. It is the Hilltoppers setting up at the 41. And I have to say, I just said this to Bruce, to you, Bruce. The Hilltoppers down 7-6. All that running in the second quarter, I expect an entirely different set of play calls here in this, the end of this third quarter.
Well, when we were on that commercial break, Bjarke, I was looking across the field, and the coach for St. Johnsbury was not amused by the way that last series of plays went. So we'll see what happens here.
And it is Katie back in the shotgun. Matt Roy back with him in the backfield. Two receivers left, one right. And sure enough, Katie is looking downfield. He's going to keep it himself, though. Try to look for the corner. Nice block. Able to pick up 4 yards. Able to pick up five. Able to pick up six. Driven out at the far sideline after a six-yard gain. Still, Katie, I think, choosing not to throw to receivers on that particular play call. Did pick up six, so you can't fault him for that. But if I'm the coach, I have to say, yeah, you can yell at players all you want. I don't think you're taking advantage of your horses. It is Katie in the backfield. Two off to the right, one to the left, one in the backfield. Matt Roy with him. He has Speedy Alercio here on this near side. That is Shane Alercio. Katie's in the shotgun, waiting for it. And he gets it in the shotgun. He's going to hand it up to Roy up the middle. Explosion by Roy up that middle. Luckily for the Tigers, tripped up in the middle by Tyler Hutt. It is going to be a first down for the Tigers after the gain of six.
Well, now the Hilltoppers doing exactly what the Tigers did on that last drive, running it right up the gut and getting some yards. 4:02 left to play in the third quarter. The Tigers leading the Hilltoppers 7-6. Friday Night Football on 92.1 WVTK. It's been a good one so far, Bjarke.
You know, it really has been, and it's been a slightly unconventional game in the sense of, even though it looks like a defensive game, I don't think we could say that the teams have played, lights out defense. It's been a sloppy game. I mean, it's a game the Tigers were able to score there. It was certainly aided by the fumble by Matt Roy that gave the Tigers the ball. They did have to go a long way on the drive, and absolute credit to them. And as you say, a lot of credit to Cody Pominville, I think, for managing that section of the game, but kind of a weird game, but kind of a fun game too, no question. I think the teams are in a real battle. I think they're playing pretty evenly matched right now. I don't think St. Johnsbury is taking advantage of the passing game the way they should, but we're not going to complain about that. And right now they have two receivers off to the left, one to the right. Two to the right, one to the left, and Matt Roy in the backfield with Jacob Katie. Katie looking at a third and one here. Boy, are they didn't give him the first down. How could they not have given him the first down? Well, all that does is give them a chance to earn a few more on this run. It is going to be Matt Roy plowing forward for a 4-yard gain. It's going to be first and 10 for the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. They have crossed over the 50-yard line. 3:40 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers leading St. Johnsbury 7-6.
Yeah, and Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Katie back in the shotgun. One man with him. That is Roy. He's got one out to his left, two to his right. Katie has it. He's looking downfield, calmly surveying the field. He's going to take a chance. He's got a man wide open on that far sideline. And that is Roy making people miss, dodging, weaving. There is going to be a flag. But as of right now, considering where they were, that went from the 47. Where did they drag him out? We'll see. They may actually bring it back to where the point of the infraction was. It may have been a hold downfield.
You know what I think that was? I think that was an illegal block.
Illegal block. All right. So it looks like where they're standing, they threw the flag where the block was, which is going to be at the 17-yard line is where the hanky's lying. So that would be a 30-yard pickup right now. If we end up with it, I'll write it in pencil if I can in my stats. But, boy, he was wide open on that far sideline, and maybe they lulled them to sleep a little bit.
Well, the official's still conferring on what, where the ball is actually going to be placed.
Personal foul on the offense, 15 yards from the spot of the foul.
So it's going to be 15 yards from the spot of the foul, so you do statistically give them the pass play, but then it's going to be 15 yards off. So right now, one has to be impressed certainly by Matt Roy, I would say, tonight. The big back for St. Johnsbury, a combination of speed and size. He is quite a load. Certainly Jacob Cady's the offensive story coming in. And the players were focused on Alercio, Shane Alercio, but you have to say Matt Roy is doing a nice job tonight.
Yeah, we've certainly called his name a lot, and he's really been on the field a lot and played a big part in where we are so far in this game. 1:52 left to play third quarter. The Tigers up 7-6, but the Hilltoppers threatening on the Tigers' side of the field. The ball at the 31-yard line.
And it is a first and 10 for the Hilltoppers. A huge gain, but then it did get brought back a fair amount. Even so, first and 10, irregardless of what it says on that scoreboard, Bruce. All right, so three wide receivers off to the left, and they're going to look for a bubble screen there. It's going to go to Alercio. He's got a man to beat in order to make up any yards. Fantastic job on this near sideline by Tim Gettleman to bring him down. A gain of nothing on that pass play. A flag down, however, at the end of the play. Alercio, for all the ballyhooed talk about him, really has not done a whole lot tonight. Receiving through the air, he is actually at negative yardage. Four receptions for negative 3 yards.
And that penalty, Bjarke, against the Hilltoppers, so that'll come back. It'll send set them back even further.
So it is going to be a, well, we'll see what they end up counting it off as. So it's going to be 20. It's going to be first and 20 here for the Hilltoppers. 1:42 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers are leading and hanging on with their claws to a 7-6 lead. Now, right now, this is the kind of situation they need to do better in these last two games. I've talked about it a bunch, but I'll talk about it again. Third and long, second and long, in this case, first and long, first and 20. The Tigers need to take advantage of being in these defensive situations. Katie back, he's going to throw it to his man. Big hole opened on the left side. He makes one man miss, makes another man miss. It is Jasper Rankin going down, pummeling, powering his way down. He's going to go from the 41 down to the 15. And again, the Tigers need to get off the field in those situations. 26-yard gain by Rankin in the air.
Yeah, so the ball down on the 15-yard line, and now the Hilltoppers threatening, despite the fact that this series has been a little sloppy.
And this is, so this is the JV version of what we saw last week in Hartford in terms of how the teams were able to overcome long down and distance against the Tigers. Katie back in the shotgun. He's got a man in motion. It's Alercio, but he gives it off to his fullback up the middle. Roy not able to make a lot out of that. 3 yards testing the left side of that line.
And we're under a minute left now in the third quarter. 7-6 Tigers. The Hilltoppers, though, on the 14-yard line inside the red zone. going to try to put some points on the board here.
Second to seven, interesting. And one thing you never know until you see it is what kind of kicking game a high school team could have. Sometimes they have a good kicker. Sometimes they literally have no one who can kick. So we'll see what St. Jan's. You think they'd bring somebody off the soccer team? All right, they have a quarterback in the backfield. Running backs. He's going to keep it himself. Katie is. He's going to plow forward, just decide to duck his head and keep it. It's going to be 3 yards on the keeper, maybe two for Katie. They're going to be looking at third and about five. If they feel confident in their kicking game, they are on the left hash mark. If they feel confident in their kicking game, what I would do is take a running back, run it to the right side, try to get the ball in the middle of the field as you can for the field goal, because, you know, it could set you up better. But it's going to be a timeout. Actually, it's the end of the third quarter. 7-6 Tigers at 92.1 WVTK.
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at countytirecenter.com.
Actor celebrates 25 years of providing community transportation with a community jamboree. Enjoy live music by Full Share and free ice cream. Play bocce, meet adoptable pets, and learn expert dog training tips. Kids will enjoy games, face painting, and a bike skills course with free safety gear. Grab a few non-perishable food items on your way to the jamboree to help them stuff the bus for local food shelves. Thanks for 25 great years. And see you at Actor's Community Jamboree from 11 to 2 on Saturday, September 16th at the Mary Hogan Rec Park in Middlebury.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back. It's the fourth quarter. Boy, you couldn't ask for a more exciting way to go into the fourth quarter right now. It is 7-6 Tigers, but right now the Hilltoppers are threatening. It is third and four. They're down near the Tigers' end zone. Katie tried to keep himself. It's going to be third. He's not going to pick up the first down. It is going to be fourth and about two, I would say, on this one. And do they decide to kick it? If you have a kicker, given the defensive nature of this game, I think you have to go for a field goal.
Yeah, I agree with you there, considering the fact that not much has really happened in terms of sustained scoring or complete drives. We've had really some very sloppy play, except for those two drives. And it looks like they are going to try to kick this.
Now, I talked about why you want to try to run it and get to the right side of the field. They didn't do that. They're lined up on the left hash mark. This is a trickier kick than it looks for their kicker. He puts it up. It might be tricky, but it works. The field goal is good. It is 9-7, St. J on 92.1 WVTK.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
You want a close football game? You've got one. 9-7. Hilltopper is against the Tigers. Tigers are returning the kickoff. Over there, it's Tyler Buxton over on the far sideline running it up. Tigers are going to come out from the 33. It's going to be first and 10, trailing by 2 points. 11 minutes left to go in the game. This is a big drive for the Tigers. Last drive, Bruce, they did pretty well.
Yeah, they did pretty well. It's probably the best drive they had of the entire game, and we'll see what Cody Pominville is able to do on this drive. What I would do on this play, I would run the ball. I want to keep their defense on the field. They didn't look very sharp last time, the Hilltoppers defense. Keep them on the field, eat up a lot of clock, and punch one in the end zone.
Pominville's got three running backs. He's going to keep it to himself. He's going to pitch it on over to the near side to Sheldrick. Sheldrick do a nice job. Nice stiff arm there to blast up across the 40. It's going to be close to a first down for Sheldrick. Physical, powerful running by Lane Sheldrick. Looks like they're going to need an official's measurement, I think, out there. Sheldrick's really bringing the lumber tonight.
Yeah, he's bringing the lumber. Nice job protecting the ball, too. Explosive speed to the right, protecting the ball. You see the St. Johnsbury players trying to strip it. That's one thing I've noticed the entire game. They're trying to strip it. A nice job, and it's a first down, by the way. The Tigers got the first down there. But again, Lane Sheldrick doing a nice job running the ball. First down Tigers on the 43.
Tigers are over here looking over to their sideline. First and 10 from the 43, as you mentioned. 10:40 left to go in the game. Tigers trailing by 2 points. It's a 9-7 Hilltopper lead. Cody Pominville under center. He's got three running backs, two tight ends standing on the side. And it is going to go to Sheldrick, trying that right side, flipping forward. Nice 5-yard gain. I like how they're giving it to Lane over and over. It's being effective right now.
Yeah, it's not only effective, but the important thing here, too, is they're also keeping the clock moving, so if you're able to punch this in, less time for the other team to get back on the board. The important thing is here, you got to score some points.
You really do, and you can move it as much as you want at this point.
Right.
But points, remember the Tigers have scored one offensive touchdown now in seven quarters. Pominville under center, three running backs, two tight ends standing. He has Deering in motion. It's going to be a pitch out to Deering. He's running over. He's going to end up getting tackled for a loss. It's going to be a loss of three. Whenever they've been going laterally and they're not able to turn up field, they have lost yardage. So far, Deering has carried the ball five times. He has lost yardage on three of those carries.
9:35 left to play in the fourth quarter. The Tigers now down 9-7 with the ball on the 45-yard line. And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury, your one-stop stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments.
And it is third and 8 for the Tigers. Not the position they wanted to be in. They've got a man giving it across in motion. It is going to be Fisher. He's going to get the option throw. He's going to get to that corner. He is going to get it. He picked up a first down and then a horse collar tackle on the near side. Nice 9-yard gain there by Fisher. Nice job by Pominville being patient on that read option. He was able to throw it out, and then there was a horse collar tackle on that near sideline. Tigers have to love that. Coach Rich Laercio, not known for his calmness, has to be getting frustrated there on the far sideline.
Well, I think so, because the Tigers, who have had their challenges this game, have really put a couple of drives together the last couple of times they've had the ball that are really A, sustained drives, and B, taking time off the clock.
Absolutely. Tiger football right here for sure. It looks a little different maybe than what people are used to. A little less, quite a bit less Tyler Hutton fullback work. A lot of work by those tailbacks. And here, they do call it horse collar. 15-yard penalty in a game like this, a 2-point game. Boy, 15-yard penalties. If you're the coach, you'd rather just, you know, let the next guy make the tackle instead of a horse collar. It's going to give another 15 yards. It's going to be a first and 10 for the Tigers, trailing by 2 with 9 minutes left of the game. That first and 10 is going to start at the St. Johnsbury 33 or 32-yard line. And here they come up to the line. Pominville, he's got some options now. He's under center with four wide receivers and just Tyler Hutt in the backfield. Pominville has it. He hands it to Hutt, who tries the middle. He runs in the middle of the linebacker and pushing him forward. Nice little gain there for sure for the Tigers. 7-yard gain. Gotta love that. Tigers are feeling it. The fans are starting to feel it.
Well, the Tigers are doing a nice job. Again, we've said this a bunch of times tonight, but he's managing the game. Pominville is managing the game. Going right up the middle there. Hutt doing a nice job going right up the middle, taking time off the clock, just on the outside of the red zone. It looks like the ball's on the 25. And again, as you mentioned, Bjarke, a bunch of options now.
For sure. You have to like that. And they're giving him some options, too. Two wide receivers, one on either side. Three running backs. They have Buxton in motion. It is going to be Fisher trying the right side of the line. And I have to say, Simon Fishen's a good runner. But if he gets in there and you have the defensive lineman, it's not going to take much of a hit to bring down his, 150-pound frame.
Yeah, considering there's guys on that line that are 260, 270, that's a pretty big body in front of you. But again, we'll see what the Tigers are able to do here. Just about 8 minutes left to go, fourth quarter. The Hilltoppers leading the Tigers 9-7, but the Tigers threatening.
for sure. And this is a humongous play. Third and one from the 22. And it is Pominville under center. He's got Hutt behind him. Two other running backs. He's going to keep it himself. Try the left side. First down by Pominville. Able to get it over. And a nice gain there of surprising gain in a way. It didn't look as long, but it's a gain of about 5 yards there for Cody Pominville.
Yeah, well, the Tigers offensive line did a nice job giving him the space to get through there. And again, about a 5 yard game. And that's a big play.
Absolutely. Huge play for the Tigers, right? Jack Donahue has had a great year kicking so far. He has gone, 9 for 9 in the touchdown, the point after department. So if you have to kick a field goal, you have to feel confident about what he looks like. Pominville has it. He's going to hand it off to his big fullback. That's going to be Hutt, bashing up the middle for about 6. However, flag is down from where it came in for the back judge. It may be against the Tigers, and sure enough, it will be. This is going to walk them back a little bit. But the Tigers only trailing by 2. Every yard counts right now.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. If you're looking for a new home, visit ChamplainValleyProperties.com and see their videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT. And also, County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury, your trusted source for all your automotive and tire needs. County Tire Center, 802-388-7620, or at countytirecenter.com.
One thing we do want to remind you, as fall ticks along, as we get closer to October, of course, it is the time of year to start thinking about hockey. And if you're interested in hockey, tomorrow is going to be, there's going to be exciting. You are going to be doing a broadcast from Mary Hogan over there in the sports fields. And also, you can walk over and register for hockey. Baja registration tomorrow morning at the Memorial Sports Center. Cody Pominville looking downfield, running over off to his right. He's going to get driven out of bounds. And it is after that first and 20. It's going to be second and about 15. Nice little gain there by Cody, getting some of that back. Every yard counts at this point.
Yeah, every yard counts, and he did a nice job making something out of nothing there. He really didn't have a lot of his... Nothing was going right. There were not a lot of receivers open, so he ran and picked up 5 yards, or they're saying that he picked up 2 yards.
It looked better than that from up here.
From here it did, yes.
It absolutely did. So all right, points there, just the statistics. All right, and it's Pominville under center again. He's got it. He's going to hit it to Sheldrick, trying the right side. Nice job lifting his foot over the defensive lineman's outreached hand. Still, though, maybe only able to give up about 5, maybe. And, well, they're going to say 4, and we're going to... look at third and very long here for the Tigers. Third and 16 for the Tigers from the 22 of the Hilltoppers. You'd have to think a pretty big play here. I think I haven't seen the extent of Jack Donahue's range, but I have to think this would be a long kick for a high school kicker. It is Pominville under center. He's got a man in motion, Buxton, from the right to the left. He's got 2 to the left, 1 to the right. He's looking right. Pominville is rolling. His feet seem to slip as he turned. The ball went up in the air. Luckily for the Tigers, it fell harmlessly to the turf. It looked like Cody slipped as he released that ball.
Yeah, he did, and that also was fluttering a little bit as a result of the slipping, so the Tigers a little bit lucky there that didn't get picked off.
Hugely lucky, but here's an interesting spot. 4th and 16. Do you go out there with... do you give out there with Donahue and let him give a rip? I think it's such a distant kick. Unless he's going to college for kicking, I don't think he's going to do this. So, Pominville up to the line. To say this is a big play is an understatement. 4th and 16 from the 24. Pominville has it. He's rolling left. He's got Fisher as an option. He looks down. Billy heaves it up towards Fisher. Will he be able to get it? No. Fisher was close to the sticks and got absolutely slammed. Humongous play at this point in the game. The Tigers unable to convert. They had a good chance there, and it just wasn't able to happen. Defensive back got over just in time to put a lick on Simon Fisher. The ball's going over to St. Jay. Time for the Tiger defense to bear their face and come out, pin it back, and get after Jacob Cady and the boys.
Yeah, a huge play by Jasper Rankin, the cornerback for St. Johnsbury. He just came over and hit him at the right time. That was a very, very good play.
It was, and it looked good. I mean, Pominville had it there. Maybe, you could say, could he release him in a different? He had to run. He was running to his left. Nice play by Cody. Nice job by Simon. Sometimes it just doesn't quite come together for you. You can't blame the Tigers for that one. It was a good play all around.
Not at all. That's difficult for an NFL quarterback to throw across your body like that. A very difficult play. He did a nice job even getting that down there.
He absolutely did. Cady is now in the backfield with a 2-point lead. 6:33 left to go. 9-7 Hilltoppers. They are on the 22nd, their own 22nd. Matt Roy testing up the middle. He's going to get banged out by some Tigers. It looked like it was Devlin, Skyler Devlin, on the hit first. It is going to be 2nd and 7 for the Hilltoppers. Coming up, time is ticking, though. 6:15, St. Johnsbury leading by 2.
Well, again, right now, for the Hilltoppers, what you want to do is you want to keep that clock running.
Absolutely.
You also want to keep the Tiger defense on the field.
Tigers need to pin it back. They need to get to Jacob Cady. They need to make something happen here. Cady's back in the shotgun. He's got a lot of people close to him. Cady's looking right. Really downfield. He's going to decide to keep it himself and kind of calmly goes up. Only for a gain of about 3, though. Chooses not to go out of bounds. Good decision from a St. Johnsbury perspective. But it is going to be 3rd and 5. This is what the Tigers would want in this situation.
Yeah, again. And this is probably the biggest play of the game right here, because if you can keep them with 9 points and keep and have
play.
To make them punt, you have 5.5 minutes to put it in the end zone. That's a lot of time.
3rd and 5, maybe 6 from the St. J 27-yard line. Tigers, big mistake. Big mistake on the defensive line. Man jumped early. That's going to give. I don't think it's going to be enough to give a first down, but it is certainly going to make it easier for St. J. Looked like it was Skyler Devlin there making that mental miscue. You just get excited. They realize how an important play it is, and sure enough, does kind of get some. Luckily, not a first down for St. J. It's going to be 3rd and...
On the penalty of 5 yards, it also gives St. Johnsbury a first down.
The scoreboard said 7.
Yes, it did.
There was a 5-yard gain and now on the penalty, and now it's a first down. Some confusing math here from the... maybe they need to bring their St. J. alum, math major, Taylor Coppenrath, down here to do a little math for them from up at Missisquoi High School. He could help them out. All right, it is Matt Roy on a 1st and 10, bashing up the middle. A little digression there. Going forward for about a 2-yard gain. And for the Hilltoppers, boy, that couldn't have been a bigger play. Tough one there for the Tigers. It's going to be 2nd and about 8. 4:43 left to go in the game. St. J. just clinging on to a 2-point lead. Tigers need to get this ball back. A kick could win this game for the Tigers, but they need defense first.
Yeah, they need defense, and what they need to do is they need to get St. Johnsbury, their offense, off the field.
Absolutely. Got to do that right now. Cady's in the backfield. 1 running back. That's going to be Roy. 2 receivers over to the right. Cady's going to keep it over to that right side. Take the block by Roy. Cady's going to plow forward. Good job keeping his feet. It's going to be a 6-yard, we're going to say a 4-yard gain for Jacob Cady. Time is starting to work against the Tigers right now. 4:09. Even if you force St. J. to punt, you're not going to end up with a tremendous amount of time left in this game.
Well, this is a pretty big play because right now there's really no incentive for the Hilltoppers to even hurry. So under 4 minutes now, 3rd and 5 from the 38. They really need to stop them here. This is a big play.
And it has been a conservative game plan, you'd have to say, for the Hilltoppers since that first quarter. Right now, it's interesting. Your conservative game plan gets you the lead. It also keeps you a play away from being behind. That's what the Tigers need. Cady in the shotgun. 1 man moving from the right to the left. Alercio is, but Cady decides to go to keep it himself. Running on the left side, being pursued by a gang of Tigers. Turns the corner, easily picks up a first down. Going out at the 45. That is going to be a 17-yard gain for Jacob Cady. That was a huge play.
Yeah, that was a huge play. Cady taking all sorts of time. And then taking off to his left and using his blockers, doing a nice job to get to the outside before being knocked out of bounds. 3:26 left to play in the fourth quarter. The Hilltoppers leading the Tigers 9-7, and right now the Tigers need a big stop.
Right there we saw the speed of Jacob Cady that hasn't really been on display at night, all night. He came to the outside. I think the Tigers didn't realize how fast he was. They took kind of a bad angle on that tackle. He was able to get outside of the numbers and just head downfield. 1st and 10 for the Tigers, 45. Cady has it. He's going to give it to Roy, and we're going to hear a lot of Matt Roy in the next 4 minutes. Roy's going to come up and gain a 4-yard. It's going to be 2nd and 6, 2:55. 5 left to go in the game. St. J. leading by 2. Right now they're a little bit of control, although any number of things could happen right now.
Yeah, and a timeout on the field with 2:55 left to play in the fourth quarter, and 2nd and 10 from the 45. The Hilltoppers kind of in the driver's seat unless they can stop him here, Bjarke.
No, they are, and I think it's going to be, you know, one of the problems is you start running out of timeouts, you know, so even if right now, let's say the Tigers are able to stop them, St. J. at this point, let's say you hold them to no yards, they're able to punt it away. Tigers at that point get it back with a little over 2 minutes left to go, but missing timeouts. So right now, if the Tigers can come up with a big play on defense, that would be useful. The problem is, it's going to be Matt Roy again and again right now, I would expect, because it is only second and six
second
with 2:55 left to go in this game. Hilltoppers leading 9-7. A game that is going to look like it's going to look like more of a defensive battle in some ways than it has been. And right now, the St. Johnsbury team comes out, and boy, they really are big. It's really hard to underestimate. You see them across the line from the Tigers. It really is substantial, the size difference between these teams. And it is Katie back in the heck. Matt Roy could be playing line for the Tigers. It is Katie back in the backfield. He's got Roy on one side. He has Alercio on the other. He's got one receiver out on the right side. It is going to be Matt Roy, as expected. Nice job there. Tyler Hutt putting his head in there and flipping Matt Roy up. Gain of only two there for the big fullback.
And the Tigers take another timeout, Bjarke. 2:49 left to play fourth quarter. The Tigers down 9-7. Tiger football, Friday night football on 92.1 WVTK from the iconic Doc Collins Field.
And so here's an interesting little bit of statistics. So this field is named after Doc Collins Jr., who was a heavy, if I believe, and I might get this wrong and somebody can let me know, I believe he was a dentist in town. And booster of the Tigers early in their time. His father was a Boston Red Sox, believe it or not, and was on a championship team for the Red Sox back in the 19-teens.
Wow.
So a little bit of random history there from your random history teacher.
Wow.
All right. Second, it is going to be third and a long five from the 40 for the Hilltoppers. 2:49 left to go in the game. Tigers are trailing 9-7. Right now, the Tigers need to make something happen. It is third and six. And here comes Katie. He is standing back in the shotgun. One thing that's interesting, they have had Katie run the shotgun all night. This is different from Hartford last week, where they put their quarterback in all sorts of situations, I think to their positive for Hartford. Right now, Alercio running to the right here, trying to test out that line. Great job by the Tigers to string him out. Great job by the Tiger defense, bringing it down. Loss of five on that play for Alercio. We've talked about how he hasn't done really all that much tonight. Almost all of his plays have been for negative yardage.
Well, 2:39 left to play in the fourth quarter now. Fourth and six.
And it is going to be, don't let him fool you. It's going to be fourth and nine, actually, believe it or not, as they take it. And I know it gets a little tricky sometimes here for sure. So right now, obviously, as you just put it out, 2:39. So right now for the Tigers, fourth and nine.
Yeah, Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by Addison County Home Health and Hospice, providing quality health care to the residents of Addison County since 1968 on Route 7 in New Haven, and Lathrop Forest Products with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont. They have the skills and the capability to consistently harvest timber.
And it is Jacob Katie in the backfield. Looks like he is set up in kind of a short punting situation here. You can't imagine he's going to throw it here. No, he is going to throw it. He's going to look down. He's got a man coming open. They make the catch. That was quite a completion. Just got ahead enough of his player. Was that Rankin? They went from the 44 to the 20. And there's the Middlebury Tiger down right now. We are going to step aside for a quick moment on 92.1 WVTK.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
Simon Fisher's okay, holding his arm a little bit, but he looks okay coming off the field. May have gotten hit by his own man over on the far sideline, but it's hard to downplay the size of that play for the Tigers and for the Hilltoppers. That was a 24-yard gain from from KD to his favorite target tonight, and you can understand why, Jasper Rankin, a big wide receiver. To the Hilltoppers certainly have weapons between Jasper Rankin, Matt Roy, and Alisto, who hasn't even really been used tonight, but who is a talent. St. Jay is a team to be reckoned with in the skill player department. So it is going to be Jacob Cady back in the shotgun. He's got two men to his right. And Buddy uses Matt Roy up the middle. Matt Roy bounces to the left, tries to get outside the tackle. Really nice job there by Tyler Buxton, who's been putting his mark on this early season, the sophomore has, and able to put a stop on after only a four-yard gain. I say only because it looked like it could have been more on that run. It is going to be 2nd and 7 for the Hilltoppers from the Tiger 16. Right now, they are certainly happy to let time tick off the clock. 1:38 left to go in the fourth quarter, and the Hilltoppers are leading by 2. They are close enough where they're very happy to take some time off and potentially go for 3 here.
Penalty down.
It is going to be a penalty. It was in the backfield. It's going to be delay of game against St. Johnsbury, I believe. And sure enough, they are walking backwards. So right now for the Tigers, really, how do you end this? If the Tigers come out of here tonight, it stands like this, they're going to be 1-2. That's not a foregone conclusion. There's a lot to happen left in this game, certainly. But if they're 1-2, the hardest part of their schedule by far will be over. So there's no reason to hang their head no matter what happens here. You came in and played, the strongest team in the state, unquestionably, so far this year, and really played them well in a lot of areas. Right now, Jacob Cady back in the shotgun. He's going to test over the right side by himself, able to shed a few tigers, stay on his feet, driven out of bounds. He's going to be close to the first down marker. We'll see. They started on the 21. They ended on the 9. That was a 12-yard gain there for Jacob Cady.
Yeah, Cady doing a nice job running right and taking a couple of tigers with him along the sideline there, finally getting knocked out of bounds.
It is a first down.
Big first down there for the Hilltoppers. 1:16 left to go in the game. The Hilltoppers are only leading by 2. Tigers certainly have time to make something happen here. This is the kind of moment, though, where you need a big play. You need a special play. You need something to happen. One of these Tigers going to have to dig deep and make something happen here. They're certainly capable of doing it. Jacob Cady back in the shotgun. He has a man way back behind him, and they are just going to kneel on it. They've decided with a first down that they could just go into victory formation. So there goes that opportunity for that last play. And right now for the Tigers, what a helpless feeling.
Yeah, that was a big play, that first down play. But then again, on the same series, we had that other 21-yard play, which when there was about 4 minutes left. And so no real surprise here. Why risk anything?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a conservative night for Coach Alessio, for St. Jay. He's a very experienced coach. He was a Castleton coach for a while. He's been coaching St. Jay. So this is an experienced man. And so you're going to stay calm. You're going to be willing to do those things. But, a younger coach, one who's less experienced, might get a little afraid. He's not going to. He stuck to, I would say, an overall a pretty conservative game plan. And it worked. It worked for them. Right now, they have lost 10 yards, losing 5 yards at a pop here. That does hurt Katie's rushing average, as he now gone down 5 yards at a time. But I don't think he's going to worry about that. Final score here on 92.1 WVTK. Stick around, of course, for all the post-game action, including our interview with the J.P. Carrera Player of the Game. But it's 9-7 at the end of regulation. St. Johnsbury beating the Middlebury Tigers on 92.1 WVTK.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsburgh. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVVT.com.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in logging and land clearing. Do you have trees blocking your view or have a larger lot you need cleared for building? Lathrop's can clear that land for many uses, like scenic views, roads, and even pasture reclamation. And they can cover a large amount of land and get it done fast. With a 60 years experience, they can handle all of your forest clearing needs. Call Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3606. That's 453-3606.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This is Maureen Conrad, Director of Development with Addison County Home Health and Hospice. For almost 50 years, we've been helping Addison County residents by providing high-quality, comprehensive community home health and hospice care. For all stages of life, we're here to help. At Addison County Home Health and Hospice, we provide more than services for elderly people. Our goal is to keep everyone in their homes and part of the community. We're your friends and neighbors, and we know how important that is because we live here too. Did you know we offer skilled nursing and palliative care? There's also maternal child health programs, high-tech nursing, rehabilitative therapies, including physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. We even offer social work services, free foot clinics, and flu vaccine clinics. Surprised at all we do? I thought so. To learn more about Addison County Home Health and Hospice and our services, please call us at 802-388-7259 or visit acHHH.org. Addison County Home Health and Hospice, proudly serving the community in all life stages since 1968.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, welcome back to the iconic Doc Collins Field here on the campus of Middlebury Union High School in Middlebury, where the St. Johnsbury Academy Hilltoppers have beaten the Middlebury Tigers tonight on football night here in Middlebury. A game that I guess you could describe at best as a little sloppy. Neither team really having any type of sustained pressure. However, the Hilltoppers did just enough to win the game. And just to kind of recap the game for you while we await Bjarke coming back with our player of the game was scoreless until 3:56 of the second quarter when St. Johnsbury took off on an 81-yard drive, taking 8 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock. The quarterback for the Hilltoppers, Jacob Cady, with a 2-yard touchdown run, the extra point. They tried a 2-point conversion. It didn't work. 6-0 Hilltoppers, and that's really the way it stayed until 4:42 of the third quarter when Middlebury, really their first sustained attack in the game, Cody Pominville with a 21-yard pass to Wyatt Cameron, and then Pominville with a 1-yard touchdown run. He ran it in, and then Jack Donahue with the extra point, making it 7-6. And then 11:09 of the fourth quarter, St. Johnsbury, James Hayes, a 27-yard field goal, making it 9-7 in favor of the Hilltoppers, and that's where it stayed. And the Hilltoppers staying undefeated, going 3-0 on the season, the Tigers dropping to 1-2. And Bjarke is back with our player of the game.
Actually, we're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back with the J.P. Carrera player of the game on 92.1 WVTK.
Here are just a few reasons why Vermont students choose Community College of Vermont.
Because I can get credit for what I know.
Because it's the least expensive college in Vermont.
Because I want to be a role model for my kids.
Because I want a career, not just a job.
Because I want diversity in the classroom.
Because I get one-on-one advising.
Because I wanted to go to school and work at the same time.
Because I want to avoid debt and stay close to family.
What's your reason? ccv.edu/register.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthium, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at champlainvalleyproperty.com. Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brad and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa in Middlebury is fully stocked and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends, 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brad and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
It's the Jeep Celebration event at Foster Motors in Middlebury. For the month of September, Foster Motors will be offering supplier pricing for all. Buy any new in-stock 2017 or 2018 for the same price Chrysler supplier employees pay. Check out the stylish 2018 Jeep Cherokee or the all-new Jeep Compass. It's also Ram Power Days at Foster Motors. Great deals on 2017 Rams, including 1500 quad and crew cab trucks. Visit Foster Motors Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at countytirecenter.com.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back with the postgame show on 92.1 WVTK with our J.P. Carrera, player of the game, a person who I think maybe has more relatives in the audience than anyone here. As you walk around the audience, you see lots of people with shirts, certainly proud of having his last name, but our J.P. Carrera, player of the game, is Lane Sheldrick. And so, Lane, tough game out there tonight, I think.
Yeah, it was.
It was, and but you hung with it, you know, and I think you guys really hung with it, and you seemed to make some adjustments along the way. At first, the offense maybe couldn't get a rhythm. Maybe last week you had trouble getting a rhythm, might have extended. You started getting a rhythm as time went on, and it seemed like you started getting a rhythm. What makes the difference between feeling it and not feeling it?
I think when our line really makes blocks and is able to hold them, and we get used to what the defense is doing, we really can just run whatever we want, but it just takes a second for us to get used to that. And I think that's what we need to start doing faster in our games.
It seemed like the line was coming in really low on you. When you went down, it looks like they were trying to get you around the feet. Seems like you started picking your feet up higher. Is that kind of an intentional decision for a running back, or is that something you just start doing out of the feel?
I just adapt to what they start doing. I don't know. It's instinct, I guess.
It's instinct. It's certainly a pretty tight game. For a team, they initially started out throwing it, and then they really started running a lot. Were you guys surprised by that switch at all?
Yeah, we came in thinking they were going to pass a lot, so we stuck to a lot of passing in practice, but when they started running, we had to adapt to how they started running up the middle, and the quarterback keeps. Sure. We weren't ready really prepared for that, but it's something you got to focus on.
One thing that I heard all week from different players was that the speedy wideout Shane Alercio was going to see the ball a lot. They didn't really feature him too much. Did you guys have a specific plan to take him out of the game?
Not really. We didn't really focus on one player during the game.
Sure.
We just focus on the whole offense as one.
So. Yep. Cody seemed to be making good reads tonight and doing good things. Talk a little about Cody's game.
Yeah, Cody had a rough week last week, but he really stepped up today. And he made a lot of good plays, and he knew when to pitch it, when to keep it. And he had that quarterback keep where he got the first down, which was really big.
Sure, some good timing there. I think you should be an analyst up here. I mean, because that was one thing I thought both of us thought was he seemed patient with the pitches. He was really willing to let someone come close to him before pitching out. Does that... Talk about how the effect that has on you and your ability to run the ball.
Yeah, that really helps me a lot because the longer he keeps it, the more space I have. So when he keeps it that long and then pitches it, I have like a wide open field.
Don't need to devote a defender to or a blocker to that. You can let him take the guy.
Exactly.
He almost operates like a blocker in that certain way. Certainly, tough two games sledding, but I do think signs of good things on the offense as time went along. Toughest part of the schedule, you'd have to say, is now over. What are some things you think that's gone well in the last couple games that you'll work on, and then maybe something that you really feel like, okay, we're going to be able to improve going forward?
Well, I think our defense is getting a lot better. We're
sure.
able to hold a lot of teams now.
Yeah.
And but one thing we need to work on is the just small mistakes. Like, we had too many penalties, too many offsides. Hmm. We just got to really focus and not let them get those easy yards on us.
And the Tigers, typically a team that make very few of those mistakes. You think you'll hear a little bit from Coach Smith?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you did a great job. And on defense, I think in a sense undersized against some of those big guys. Last question for you, because I know you want to join your teammates. But, what's it like as a football player going up against some people who are that size as they are on the offensive line?
Well, we didn't really let the size really...
Yep.
I guess we didn't focus on the size.
Sure.
And we just focused on what their weaknesses was, and we just tried to really take down their weaknesses.
Sure, absolutely. And as you point out very well, and this was a team that really came in flowing, you held them to 9 points. Right, which
yeah.
is an absolutely great accomplishment, and then really seeing the signs of life. So I think good things to come for the Tigers, and I hope you guys are. I know it's tough when you're 1-2, but hold your heads high. You played a really great game today, really sustained, I thought, the energy all the way through and kept bringing it. So for that reason, you're the J.P. Carrera Player of the Game. Nice
Thank
work.
You.
Just so you know how it works, because it's your first time up here, you get to do it once per season. So this has been your time up here. We have to share the wealth, but congratulations. Nice job. Go hang out with the guys, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Cool. We'll step aside for a moment. We'll be back for the last words. And that was the J.P. Carrera Player of the Game, Lane Sheldrick. We'll have a few last words and look forward to next week here on 92.1 WVTK.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Actor celebrates 25 years of providing community transportation with a community jamboree. Enjoy live music by Full Share and free ice cream. Play bocce, meet adoptable pets, and learn expert dog training tips. Kids will enjoy games, face painting, and a bike skills course with free safety gear. Grab a few non-perishable food items on your way to the jamboree to help them stuff the bus for local food shelves. Thanks for 25 great years. And see you at Actors Community Jamboree from 11 to 2 on Saturday, September 16th at the Mary Hogan Rec Park in Middlebury.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, Certainly not the outcome that maybe the Tigers fans would want, a 9-7 loss to the St. Jay Hilltoppers. But I think some things to build on going forward. We can look forward. And Bruce, just a couple thoughts to wrap up tonight here before we look towards next week.
Well, as you said when you were doing your interview there are some really positive things to build on tonight. Last week you gave up 36 points. Tonight you gave up 9. Okay? Both teams a little sloppy, but you did have a couple of plays where you went right down the field, managed the game well, scored points, gained huge chunks of yardage, and I do think, you know, when you see the players up close, I mean, we're up here in the broadcast, and I know they're not going to say it, okay, but there is a huge size differential
in
those players. I mean, 100-pound difference in some cases.
Yep.
And I don't know how you can coach around that other than to, you know, go to the air all the time. But anyway, you know, you played much better from what you said than last week. But the hardest part of their schedule is over. They're 1-2. You still have plenty of opportunity to do some damage. So you know what? I don't think you hang your head after a loss like this.
No, I think that there are really things to get, you know, build on. And I think for Coach Smith, for Coach Malcolm, and Coach Newseder, there is going to be an element of always expecting better. But I think you also do come out of this and focus on, you know, what are those positives? How do you move forward? I think you saw really good things out of Cody Pominville tonight in terms of his decision-making. I think you saw really good things from the offensive line in terms of keeping it going, fighting, getting Lane and other people those spaces. You know, the defense played really well tonight, and they played really hard. It was a physical game. You're just going up against these monsters time and time again, and I think they did a good job there. Certainly for St. Jay, it'll be kind of interesting. I think that, you know, you might want to go in a little bit to the drawing board in terms of some of your play selection. You really were passing it around all over the place. You end up scoring 9 points. Certainly, you know, week up, week down, stuff like that. But it was interesting. Real conservative game plan by Coach Lercio. So we'll see what happens going forward. Looking forward, the Tigers are going to be home against Essex next weekend. Essex, although they looked good to start the season, did not come out successful last night. We'll see what happens, or last week, we'll see what happens with them against CVU tonight as they're playing in Essex. So the Tigers will take on Essex, then away at Rutland, which will be a very interesting game. I think that game will determine a lot of how the season goes. For the Hilltoppers, their path looks quite a bit easier. They're going to be away at CVU. They're going to be away at Rice. Neither team looks like world beaters so far this year. Then their big game, I would say, the BFA St. Albans Bob Whites. The Bob Whites are 2-0 right now, and they're going to be playing against Rutland tonight. So those of you watching the Football Frenzy or other things can pay attention to what happened tonight. Rutland to BFA St. Albans. That's an interesting Division I game. So for both these teams, not terribly difficult sledding coming up. I think they could both use a little time to calibrate and figure out exactly who they are going forward.
Yeah, and again, you know, as you mentioned, Bjarke, the tough part of the Tiger schedule is over. You've got a lot of football left, but you've kind of got a little bit of a measuring stick. They've done some very good things against some very tough teams, and they also know what they've got to work on.
Sure.
It's not a terrible thing, because the important thing, it's like any sport. You want to be playing well come the playoffs. It doesn't matter. You could be the eighth seed. You're on the table in the playoffs. You win the whole thing. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
So you want to be playing well come playoff time. They did some really good things tonight. St. Johnsbury, I don't like using the word lucky. I really don't like using that word, but they played well enough to win.
Yep.
They had some undisciplined times, and again, they could have lost this game very simply.
Yep.
They played well enough to win, so tip your hat to them. But you know, if I'm the Tigers, I'm not hanging my hat after this, because they hung in there.
And I will say, you know, you do sometimes run the risk of overly homerism. And I will say for the Tigers, one area where I will say they will need to work on is third and long defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's been a lot of times in the last 2 weeks where the teams have been, I mean, particularly last week, but tonight as well. I think St. Jay's final score did come as a result of this. You know, when you get in a position where it's, you know, third and 24, that really needs to be a second and 24, or even first and 24. Those need to be those times where you're able to stop a drive. Getting in that position should be a drive killer. And as of right now, they are doing some good things, but I think, and this is no surprise to the coaches, I think they know that you need to make sure that those are drive killers, and that they're not just eating more clock against you. So some things for the Tigers to work on, certainly, but we'll be excited to bring you all the action here from Doc Collins Field next Friday, as the Tigers will take on the Hornets of Essex. Essex High School from Dock College Field. We will have pregame at 6:30. The game time, of course, kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Bjarke Sears for my partner, Bruce Seaman, for Jim Tighe back in the studio, and for everyone at 92.1 WVTK. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate all our sponsors out there who do such great things for the Tigers. And we appreciate everyone involved in this great tradition here in Middlebury. So, Bruce, have a great week. Good luck tomorrow. People can come over and visit you, I think, at Mary Hogan tomorrow morning. Is that right?
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from the Mary Hogan Rec Field. They're having their big Jamboree, having their big actor. We'll be there from 11 to 2. Come by and see us. And good things tomorrow, and hopefully good things next week for the Tigers.
Absolutely. So we hope to see you. We hope you hear us next week. We won't see you. We hope you hear us next week, and we'll be proud to come into your living room, your car, or wherever you happen to be listening. For everyone at 92.1 WVTK, thank you, and have a great week.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Vermont Field and Sports for all your sports and hunting needs, and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at mikesautomidd.com. That's mikesautomid.com. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon for all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge for local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your local True Value hardware store, and more. JP Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363. Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location in Vergennes. Dedeker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Route 7 South in Middlebury, find new roads. Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Streets, downtown Middlebury, and at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, and Hinesburg, and online at mbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury. Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. They have parts for the car, truck, boat, and even the 18-wheelers. Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. Looking for a new home? Visit ChamplainValleyProperty.com and see their videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT. Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Community College of Vermont, where high school students can earn free and transferable college credits at any of their college's 12 campuses, or online at gotocollegevt.org. Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury, your one stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury, your trusted source for all your automotive and tire needs. County Tire Center, 802-388-7620, or at countytirecenter.com. Brandon RV on Route 7 in Pittsburgh. Let them keep you in the sun all year long with a quality RV and at prices lower than any other dealer in the U.S. or Canada. Lathrop Forest Products, with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont. They have the skills and capability to consistently harvest timber. And Addison County Home Health and Hospice, providing quality home care to the residents of Addison County since 1968 on Route 7 in New Haven. For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.